much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Look, I got something to say, and it's emotional and it's important. I need 30 seconds.
Okay, what? Go ahead. What is it?
Okay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
K-Rock is the greatest radio station in the world.
Because y'all keep it funky.
And juicy.
We're looking for individuals from the Los Angeles area who are currently experiencing an outbreak of genital warts.
Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the wolf in the hunt.
Best part of waking up is with two girls and one cup.
Have you noticed small individual growths or a cluster of growths on your genital area?
And now,
what would you do to make sure that we always remember you?
Be memorable.
Our feature presentation.
Where's the outrage there?
Good question.
Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33. It's Tuesday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
What's going on?
You know, like we do.
Just big pimping like we do.
Exactly. Beer mug's back today?
Woohoo!
I thought it was a one-time thing.
Nope.
Yesterday. No?
Who told you that? That's not true.
Just being hopeful, I guess.
All right. Mm-hmm.
He works here now?
He does. He's worked here for quite a while.
All right, I'm going to give you a chance to guess where this story comes from.
Florida.
Actually, no, Ohio.
Washington.
Today.
Oh.
Ohio. What a strange guess you would make, Florida. Nothing weird ever happens in Florida. Although, have you seen the pictures of the sinkhole neighborhood? Have you checked those out?
I haven't actually looked, no.
It's crazy.
Aren't there other sinkholes forming now?
Yes.
Do they have any idea what's going on?
No. Do you think the sinkholes are attacking? Do you think they're starting with Florida and then they're going to move throughout the country and attack the whole... I mean, it would take a long time to get to the West Coast, but still.
I don't know. I think the ground under Florida is tired of the freaks that live on top of it.
That might be it.
Going, oh, hell no.
It's purging itself.
Yep.
Going to put an end to that. Well, this is a bizarre story that Kevin especially is going to appreciate from Eastlake, Ohio. Eastlake police officers arrested a man who they say was so drunk that he was talking to bags of tobacco and swearing at them.
Why would Kevin mostly appreciate
yes,
this story?
Bean. Because of how drunk this guy was. Yeah. I think, I don't know if we've done this phone topic in a while, but it might be interesting to find out the drunkest people have been, like the craziest stuff they did when they were super, super blottoed. This story started last Saturday. Police were called to try and get an apparent drunk under control at the tobacco store on Vine Street in Eastlake, Ohio, around 4:45 in the afternoon. I love that, by the way, that it's not even 5 p.m.
4:45. That means he started drinking about 10.
Yeah.
Police were told that the man was talking to bags of tobacco and swearing. When authorities arrived, they saw the man standing at the end of an aisle, propping himself up against the shelf. You can just picture this, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to police, it appeared the man was trying to have a conversation with a bottle of vodka and with a customer who was standing in line.
Tell him.
I would give anything to have that on tape. I'd love to hear that conversation. Officer said the man's speech was slurred, his thoughts were confused and random, and that the conversation that he tried to convey between the bottle of vodka and the customer made no sense and was unintelligible.
Really? That's a
surprise. Well, the vodka wouldn't pipe up.
That's right. Stop talking.
Bitch. Police arrested the 51-year-old man for disorderly conduct and placed him in a jail cell to sober up. Now, here's my favorite part of the story. Like, it even gets better. And there's video of this, by the way. No sound, unfortunately, but video.
Oh, come on.
During the stay, authorities say the man began confessing his love for the urinal in his cell. Now, the video, they call it a urinal, but to me, in the video, it looks like the toilet that's in the cell. And he is on the floor, and he is kissing it, and he is caressing it.
Oh, my God.
And he is rubbing his hands all up and down and in and out it. And it's a prison toilet, you guys.
Oh, yeah. A lot of crazy went on last night.
It is a prison toilet. And he is apparently confessing his love to this thing in jail.
That's got to be an extra step of that guy's weird or crazy. Maybe he's
or
crazy.
He's on drugs and drunk.
Yeah, before he starts drinking, because most people who drink usually just get a little more extreme or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't change your behavior. I would never be drunk enough to profess my love for a toilet in the prison.
Right.
There's no amount of drunk I would pass out before that.
I wouldn't think so either. Anyway, he has been charged with disorderly conduct and intoxication and is scheduled to appear before a judge on Monday morning. So there's your Kevin Amin citizen of the day. Cursing at tobacco, having conversations with vodka, and falling in love with a toilet.
And a splitting headache
that
now.
That is quite the night.
What
good
pain.
Times, right?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin show, shall we?
Are you a Mexican or a Mexicant?
Of those two, I would go with Mexican.
Yeah, I would too.
We have some more Doto interviews. And
there's more?
Well, I was a little worried that we didn't have enough because, you know, we do go through them and edit them to try to get the best ones. And today's every bit as strong as yesterday.
Really? That's so exciting.
It's unbelievable.
I have to, let me see, I have to share this with you guys. I was going to save this for later, but it's too good. So I wrote to Doto after we played his round one of his interviews yesterday, and I said, Do, your interviews are fantastic. We've been playing more of them throughout the show today. They're just the best. We really appreciate you doing them. Looks like you're making it in the entertainment industry after all.
No.
That's a pretty positive, uplifting note, right?
Yes.
I would think so.
Sincere appreciation. I mean, Doto took time out of his busy schedule, whatever it is he does, to do these interviews. I wanted to thank him for it.
Have you ever been on Lufthansa airline before?
No, I have not.
Thank you very much.
So he did write me back. Bean, are we still going to do interviews? When would I start landing a career in showbiz? To be honest, it won't happen.
What?
That's oh my
what
God.
Doto had to say in return. So apparently we still got some work to do with the boy inside and out.
He needs some confidence. He needs a confidence boost.
I mean, he does.
He so much wants to be in showbiz. And I noticed when you played it this morning and you said, that's great. You're going to make it. And he went, okay. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Like, not excited at all.
Yeah.
You would think this would be a big step for him getting his interviews on K-Rock. It's a pretty big deal.
It
but
is.
He still doesn't feel like he's making it in show business. So we just have to keep trying.
We keep making the mistake of thinking that he's paying attention to what we're saying.
That could be
so it. He'll say, I really want to make it in showbiz. Now his mind is off somewhere else, and right. then we say, yes, you are, and he doesn't respond the way we would
yeah,
think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But we got some more Man on the Street interviews with Doto. Can't wait for that.
All right.
We have the director of programming for Break.com, who has come up with many of the things that we feature in the Internet Roundup, Screen Junkies and Honest Trailers. We have him in the studio today. Andy Signor is his name. We have Amanda Landry, who plays Wanda, Ralph's wife on the Joe Schmo
yeah,
Show.
Yeah, she's great.
She's been banned from the house for a couple of weeks because she's frisking one of the contestants.
Oh.
One of the fake contestants. We need some of Bean's people in the 6 o'clock hour. Do you have OCD, Bean?
I do not.
I'd like a second opinion. I guess it was featured on Girls this past weekend. I don't watch that show because it's, you know, for girls.
Well, first of all, it's not for girls. Second of all, it's one of the most popular shows on television. Third of all, Lena Dunham had OCD as a young person growing up and has written that into her character, Hannah, on the show. And it's crazy the stuff she has to do as an OCD victim. I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. It sounds like a terrible way to live.
And exhausting, too.
Exhausting, yeah.
Yeah, who's got that kind of time to do all of that stuff where you have to close the door 7 times or wash
right.
your hands 15 or any of that stuff? And yesterday we made the announcement of K-Rock Presents Kevin Amin's April Foolishness, 2013, Saturday, April 6th at the Gibson Amphitheater. We got Brad Williams, Ari Shaffir, Rob Delaney, Doug Benson, Bill Burr, and Jay Moore. We're going to have Jay Moore on the program today talking about being at the Brea Improv this weekend, talking about Foolishness and his big battle with Brad Williams. His battle with Brad Williams.
Yeah. It's a little battle.
So we'll do that. We'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz beat.
By the way, King of Mexico tells us that we also have a pair of passes to check out the Sound City Players tonight on the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. Now, remember that was that one-of-a-kind superstar get-together with John Fogerty and Stevie Nicks and Rick Springfield? Ralph, you saw them when they played Hollywood,
yeah,
right?
I was there.
After the movie, right? They did it in Sundance, and then they did it in L.A., you know, after the movie premiere. And I thought that was going to be the end of that. Everybody would go their separate ways. But apparently they're getting the band back together again, and they're playing on Jimmy Kimmel tonight. And we're going to have some tickets. You can go see that in person tonight a little bit later on today's Kevin Amin Show. So that's a good deal, right?
Sound City Players, it's all in me. I think that's how that goes.
I like that.
If you haven't seen the documentary yet, you need to.
It's
fantastic.
Awesome.
I don't even like most of those people, and it's great.
What?
I
Who's
don't.
In there that you wouldn't like?
Stevie Nicks. Goat Lady.
An amazing performer and a legend.
Goat Lady.
It drives me crazy.
Why does Kevin hate
everything?
I just told you why. But I said it was great, though, even though.
And Kevin probably has no time for the great Rick Springfield either, I would imagine.
Not really, no.
Because his songs were made more than 15 minutes ago, so they can't be good.
I'm saying, it was a great documentary.
You exhaust me.
5:54, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
Speaking of music, the internet's all a Twitter. And Twitter's all a Twitter, is actually. It? About this mashup that dropped this week. Did you hear about this?
Did not.
The Nine Inch Nails Carly Rae Jepsen mashup.
Oh, not, finally.
Not two artists you think would naturally make a good mix.
Who would ever think to do that in the first place?
People on the internet have lots of time on their hands.
They do, that's true.
You want to hear a little taste of this thing?
Sure.
It's kind of blowing up, so I thought I'd bring in a little taste for you, so you can find it on the internet yourself.
Got money, I'll do anything for you. Got money, just tell me what you want me to. Got money, nail me up against the wall. Got money, don't want everything, he wants it all. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take it. No, you can't take that away from me.
Huh. It sounds kind of awesome, quite frankly.
It's not as good as the rock version, but interesting.
It's can't you ever give anything anything?
That's what interesting. I said it was interesting.
It's awesome.
It's a hard rocking song. It's one of my favorite songs of all time, so it makes it hard to mix it with Carly Jepsen.
You didn't take it away, you know? It's still there. You still hear that version.
I'm just saying. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. They ruined it by putting that Nine Inch Nails song on it.
Anyway, I thought that was entertaining, so there's a little something-something for you. Take that home. Enjoy it. Put it in your pocket. Make a wish.
That is fascinating to consider how on earth somebody came up with those two to mix.
It wouldn't jump to my mind, no. And yet somehow, in some weird way, it works. Ashley Judd, the actress, is considering getting into politics. I don't know if you heard about this or not.
Did not.
She is a Kentucky native, and she has been rumored to consider a run for the Senate against longtime Republican incumbent Mitch McConnell. He's sort of entrenched down there in Kentucky, has been for some time. Well, the conservative news website, The Daily Caller, is already starting thinly veiled attacks against Ashley Judd, questioning her ability to serve in public office because, and I quote, the actress has bared her breasts in several films and has had some raunchy sex scenes in others. Well, then by absolutely, she's disqualified.
Yeah, she can't have any good thoughts then if she took off her top once.
How can she have breasts and also serve in public office? How is that possible?
Yeah, what's he is really on? Asking that question, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's nuts. Look, will Judd be, another quote from the article, will Judd be the first potential senator who has literally nothing left to show us?
Wow.
I was saddened by that article. More than anything else, just saddened.
That's weak.
That's all they got?
We're a little bit obsessed with sexuality, as you've pointed out many times before.
So childish. So childish.
But in their defense, the government
says she can't do it because she's an actress and she's a bubblehead. It's like because she showed her boobs, she can't do it.
The government that we have there is doing a great job, though, so it seems to be working.
Yeah, I'm like, take them all. Right. Fill the place with strippers and porn stars, whatever you can find. Couldn't be any worse.
That's the America I want to live
in. That's right. How about this for a call-in topic? We have to ask our listeners if this has ever happened in their own lives. Star Magazine reporting that Demi Moore has a new boyfriend, a guy named Harry Morton Jr., which would not be particularly interesting in its own right, but Harry is her daughter Rumor's ex-boyfriend.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
Whoa. Mom's dating my ex on the next Maury.
Seriously?
Love it. That's uncool.
Look, Rumor's not dating him anymore. Why should he go to waste, Lisa?
What is wrong with her?
Well, she needs a little something-something.
Oh, jeez.
She's a cougar and he's the prey.
That would be so weird to have him like coming over for dinner or something.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
Yeah. They're kissing, making out, you know.
He said, I was there, now Mom's there! Yeah, that's creepy.
We have done the phone topic of you had sex with the mom and the daughter or the father and the son. I think we've done that one before.
We have, but usually it was a secret.
Yeah, this would be more interesting, I think. You know, you broke up with someone and then your parents started dating that person.
Swooped in. That's scary.
It's kind of weird. Today's birthdays are in the other room. So, it's March 5th. Look it up. There's a thing called the internet. Okay. Celebrity birthdays, March 5, Google, boom. There's your answer. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Just announced yesterday morning here on the program with Kevin Abid, April Foolish's 2013. What a great lineup. Saturday night, April the 6th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Jay Moore, Bill Burr.
What is that?
Blah, blah, blah.
Roland.
April Foolishness. Blah, 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 blah.
We just announced it yesterday.
Blah, blah, I just blah, thought blah, 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 people blah, listening blah. This time of day maybe haven't heard about the show yet. Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, Brad Williams. Tickets are on sale this Friday at noon. That's important. What are you calling about?
You know what's important? The future of America is important. How about that? How about that over your little comedy program? Ha, 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 ha.
What is...
While you're laughing while Rome is burning, Nero, with your fiddle. All right, maybe Nero wasn't laughing. He was fiddling. But you know what I'm saying. The analogy still applies. Things are crashing down around you, and now, oh, comedy, ha, ha, ha. We won't be so funny when America lies in ruins.
What, are you talking about the budget problem?
I'm talking about the President of the United States of America.
Okay.
And how I am calling for his immediate impeachment.
You want to impeach President Obama?
He must be removed from office this instant.
Was there a high crime or misdemeanor?
Yes. The highest of all crimes.
All right, let me think about this. This is not a
he wasn't born here thing.
No, okay. that's nothing compared to what has happened.
Oh, all right. Is this something to do with Guantanamo, the prison being open and Americans being held without their rights being read or anything like that?
Whatever with that, with rights for people.
Oh, drone program.
No, that's the coolest thing ever. Robot killers are awesome.
Robot killers.
What else? Help us out here, Roland. What's bugging you? You usually don't even follow politics.
You read the news. Are you involved in the politics at all?
No.
About the future of this country? Do you care at all about America?
Well, yeah. I try to stay current.
Last week, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Yes.
Yes.
Confused the two worlds of Star Trek and Star Wars. He said that Congress needed a Jedi mind meld.
So?
Blasphemy!
Oh, because Jedi is Star Wars. I get it.
Jedi is Star Wars, and everyone knows there's no Jedi mind meld. There's a Vulcan mind meld from Star Trek, and there's a Jedi mind trick. From Star Wars, but there's no Jedi mind meld.
Okay, but you said America was burning.
It will be if we continue to let someone like this run our country who doesn't know the difference between a lightsaber and a phaser.
Naturally, you have both at your disposal.
Of course I do. Oh, I don't call it a light phaser, do I? Give me your face saber. No, it's a lightsaber.
I don't think anyone.
And a phaser.
I don't think anyone probably
two
cares.
Separate things.
Here's that clip that Roland is talking about. Cover your ears, Roland, for everybody else. I want them to hear this little clip from President Obama on Friday.
Most people agree I'm presenting a fair deal. The fact that they don't take it means that I should somehow do a Jedi mind meld with these folks and convince them to do what's right.
He was trying, Roland.
Ah!
But you understand the intent, which is basically he can't force them to think anything.
They could take our homes, but they'll never take our freedom!
Look.
Fire all fingers!
At least we've got a president who's heard of Star Wars, who's heard of Star Trek. That's a step in the right direction for your people,
yes,
Roland.
He's heard of Star Wars, and he's heard of Star Trek, and then he just pooped on them.
Well,
and
I'm sorry.
And rubbed them together and made them have sex in the poop.
But look, if that's a terrible image. If J.J. Abrams can direct the Star Wars and the Star Trek movies, aren't they coming together anyway?
No!
Roland has never been so passionate about anything in his life.
You find me protesting on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Don't you think you might be overreacting just a little?
Freedom!
What are you shooting your phaser at? What are you shooting your phaser at?
My mom's clothes dryer.
Well, listen, Roland, may the force be with you and live long and prosper. Hey!
Gotta get together on that, guys.
Yeah, we do. We need a meeting or something.
Back to rehearsals.
All right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:21. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
While we're compiling our master list of all the things that Kevin hates, the television show Girls seems to be one of them. And you, my friend, are missing out on one of the best shows on television. Of course, it's, you know, won the Emmys and the Golden Globes. I mean, it's very popular, but you're missing out. It's so good. It's so funny.
It's my favorite show of every week.
Really?
I look forward to it so much. I save all the episodes because I'm going to sit and watch them all again.
I watched it and I feel like, well, they're certainly not talking to me. So I'm just going to move on and watch other stuff.
But that's like saying I'm not going to watch a show about the Old West because they're not talking to me. I mean, it's not the life that you and I live, but that doesn't mean those characters can't be interesting and it can't still
not.
Be funny.
They are. They're interesting and funny.
Yeah, all right.
You're just too tired of seeing Lena Dunham take her top off, basically. That's what's happening here.
No one is asking her anymore, just for the record.
This past week's episode was awesome, but she didn't take her top off for the first time all year.
I didn't get to see
her boobs.
Yeah.
Or have to see her boobs, I should say.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because it brought up that her character, Hannah, that she plays on Girls, has OCD that comes back in stressful situations. Had OCD as a kid, as a teenager, and then kind of went away as she became an adult. But now she's in this super stressful situation where she's got a deadline on writing a book, and her OCD comes back in a major way.
You strike me as an OCD guy.
I don't think I've ever had OCD.
Really?
I like having things in a particular order. I do things in a particular way, I guess. But I'm not like, as you'll hear in this clip we're about to play from the show, I've got to touch the doorknob 25 times. I'm not that guy. And I guess there are various degrees of OCD. You can have slight or you can have major to the point where it's hard to live, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
But her parents get real concerned about her and they take her to a psychiatrist who is talking to her about, you know, what's going on with the OCD. And listen to what she has gone through as a person with OCD. And then we're going to take your telephone calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We haven't done this for a long time. We want to hear from people who have OCD and have no choice but to do crazy things over and over and over again.
The more extreme, the better.
Absolutely. So here she is talking to her psychiatrist. Right, exactly.
I mean, this hasn't happened since high school.
And it was very bad in high school?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad. I counted stuff. It was bad.
What did you count?
Every pulse in my vagina. I would force myself to see things on a loop of eight, like sexual things, murder things.
So it was really a classical presentation.
Well, okay. Then I guess it's classic to have to masturbate 8 or 16 times a night until your legs shake and you're crying and you're trying to make sure that your parents didn't hear you, so you check their door 8 times, then you move your toothbrush 64 times, then you move your dad's toothbrush 64 times, then you go back and forth between the two, moving each one 8 times until you've reached 64 times, but then you realize that doesn't feel quite right either, and suddenly it's 3 in the morning and you're f***ing exhausted and you go to school the next day looking like a zombie. It's classical.
Imagine having to masturbate 16 times so then you can get up and move your toothbrush 64 times, and that's your nightly ritual.
That's a cartoon exaggeration, though,
know.
Right?
I don't know.
Let's find out what people have going on. But I mean, the counting thing has just got to be. I mean, and you have to know while you're doing it that it doesn't make any sense and that the light switch is off, but you still have to go back and flip it on and flip it on and flip it off and flip it off 20 times or whatever it is. You have to know it
what
doesn't make
does
sense.
What good does it do to flip off a light? It doesn't get its feelings hurt.
but you can't stop yourself. And that must be the most frustrating thing about it is you just must feel like your body's been taken over by somebody. It's making you do something you don't want to do, right?
What happens if you have OCD and you don't do it? Does it just drive you crazy to the point where it's just easier to do
it? I think you have a meltdown.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I would imagine you start to lose it.
We've talked to people that like have to open and close doors a bunch of times. What did your friend have to do, Muggs?
My buddy turns the light switch off twice before he leaves the room, turns it on 3 times, and turns it off twice again and leaves.
Every time?
Every time.
Wow. Well, we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We didn't have to look very far for our first caller because she is in the building. Casey, who works here on the Kevin and Bean Show, she's the one who has her finger on the button because of you and your potty mouths.
8 or 16 times a day.
She joins us on the phone from the dungeon deep within the bowels of K-Rock. Hi, Casey.
Hello, guys. What's up?
You had OCD or you have it?
As a kid, I would do things where I had to count things all the time, but not in a... It wouldn't alter my day. But if I were walking through a doorway and I accidentally would bump my right shoulder on the, you know, door jamb or whatever, I would have to turn around and do it with my left.
So
it was
really? It was
a symmetry thing. It wasn't necessarily a number thing, it was a symmetry thing.
Okay, so well, symmetry, let me ask you this. Did it have to be even? Are you more comfortable with even numbers like Bean?
Oh, no, I'm an odd number person.
You're an odd number.
See, because you have to have a center point. So you have the same number on one side of your center number as the other side.
I see.
So, no, or if I were walking down the street and I was avoiding cracks and I would step on a crack with my right foot, I had to count the same number of steps that I took until I got to the crack and do it with my left foot.
Now, how about to Elisa's question, which is, what would it feel like if you didn't, if you just decided, okay, I'm going to beat it this time and I'm not going to step on that crack, I'm not going to even it out?
You would just do it.
You just didn't. Did you think to yourself, this is weird, but it just feels better? Or did you not even
notice? I didn't even think that I realized that I did it until I was older and I didn't do that stuff anymore.
You didn't realize you were turning around and hitting your other shoulder on the door jamb?
You would just kind of tap it with your shoulder. It wouldn't affect your body. It wouldn't slow down your day at all. It was just something that I always did. And thinking back, knowing what OCD is now, I was telling my mom, I was like, I used to have OCD tendencies as a kid, Mom. She goes, no, you didn't. I was like, I counted stuff. I had to do things symmetrically, right side, left side.
Yeah. That's weird.
Well, it is interesting. Casey, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Now go back to the button. 1-800-520-1067. Right, exactly. It is interesting. According to these stats that I have in front of me, an estimated 1 in 100 children in the U.S. have the disorder. But it's estimated that 1 in 40 adults have it. So
really?
That would mean that more people as grown-ups have it than as children.
1 in 40 is...
It's a lot of people, right?
Yeah, really prevalent.
OCD. OCD is believed to be a result of the combination of genetic, behavioral, cognitive, environmental, and neurological factors and how they all relate at a particular point in time. And of course, then it goes on to talk about how OCD commonly involves rituals. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to take some calls on this. 1-800-520-1067. We want to talk to you if you have or had OCD. Maybe you're the counting type. Maybe you've got something else that you do. I want to hear about it. Coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 635 or 634 or 636, depending on your preference.
Depending on what it is you need to hear. Ralph's co-star from Joe Schmo, which has its finale tonight, by the way, Amanda Landry is going to be joining us in studio coming up on the 7 o'clock hour. Also, our friend Jay Moore will be on talking about April Foolishness and so much more. Right now, though, we're talking about OCD. Look, we're not trying to make fun. This would be a terrible way to live. Dear Kevin and Bean, Ken writes in, my brother's OCD was so severe that he would have to start his day over if he got surprised. For instance, if you would open a door just as he reached it, it would trigger the syndrome. He would have to go back home, get in bed, and start his day over.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine what that would be like? He's a little better as an adult, but we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about your OCD, either past or present. Let's start with Alan. He'll get us going here on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Alan. Thanks a lot for calling. Thanks for listening. What's going on?
Thanks for having me. So my OCD is that I need to have stimulation that's, you know, symmetrical on both sides. Usually this is for food. So, for example, when I eat French fries, I like to have even numbers, and then I need to have even amount of food on my left side and right side of my mouth.
What? And, what does that mean, even numbers? You mean you need to have an even number of French fries?
Yes. Well, if it's French fries, if it's chips, whatever, like things like that.
Okay. So you
I have cheeseburgers, but
so you.
Then,
So you chew like on the right side one, and on the left the next one, and back and forth, and back and forth.
No, I put two on. What if I grab two, then I would have one on each side. Or if I grab four, then it would be two on each side.
Oh, but you never grab three. That would drive you out of your mind.
And then I usually spend, like, my entire day cracking knuckles and toes trying to even it out from the morning.
Trying to even them out from the morning.
Wow.
Why don't you just make it even in the morning?
It just cracks. Something will crack when I wake up out of bed, and it'll just start.
You go, the count's off. I can't believe it.
Yeah. What I wanted to share about was what really helped with this, and if there's anybody else with OCD that, you know, wants to kind of get past this, was I started doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and karate, and when people are beating you up, you really kind of can't get things to be even when they punch you.
Yeah, because they'll hit you twice on the right side, and you go, hey, dude, come on, you got to hit me on the left side.
All right, yeah, so if you have OCD, just have someone hit you in the face. That's what we've learned here today.
Yeah, I broke my nose, and it's never going to be symmetrical again, and I kind of got past it over.
There you go.
Really? Wow, check you out, Alan. All right, thank you for the call.
Let's get your nose broken.
Let's go to Steve. Steve is on line 6. He has a bizarre form that his OCD presents. Hi, Steve.
Sorry, Steve is on 8. Where do you want to go? Allie's on 6.
Oh, I apologize then. Let's go with Steve on 8.
Okay, hold on. Steve, hi.
Hey, party people.
Hi.
So I never knew I was OCD until I went down Ranch, got back from a couple of deployments in the Middle East, and out there they
they make you just drink tons and tons of water because it's so damn hot.
Right.
And so I realized, you know, as you're having, yeah, and then I realized every time I started doing it, and then I started judging how good it was every single time.
So when you say, well, judging, longer the better?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You know, so I'm starting to.
So, do you think this is an OCD thing, or is this just a, I don't know, just got it like, my, what's my personal best? Or are you just trying to set some sort of world record on how long you can tinkle?
You know, and I was trying to figure that out, and then I realized that, you know, after I've come back and settled back in and adjusted every single time, I still do it. I can't help it.
What?
And if I don't have a watch on, I start going crazy.
What, Steve, what do you, Steve, what do you, as a soldier, think about a guy who's an adult using the word tinkle? Me too.
Well, it is FCC approved, at least.
Exactly, as opposed to what Steve said. Thank you for the call. All right, now let's go to line six, please. This is going to be Allie. We're taking your OCD calls here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Allie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Allie.
Tell us about your OCD.
I have pattern-oriented OCD.
Pattern-oriented?
So one of my biggest quirks is I have to take the same route every day. So if there's, like, construction going on some street, I have a panic attack. I completely melt down. I have to drive the same streets every day.
But what happens, like, if that street starts having construction and it takes you five times as long to get to work as if you just went around the construction?
I can't do it. I have a meltdown. I have to pull over and breathe and, like, try and figure out what to do. It's super bad.
Oh, wow, Allie.
How did this start? When you first started driving or after that?
I think it started when I first moved to L.A. because I'm not from here.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to get lost. And now it's become everywhere I go, I have to do it.
That's weird. Well,
yeah,
look, there's no traffic in Los Angeles, so you're all right.
Hey, Allie, what happens? Right? What happens if someone else drives? Is it cool?
If someone else drives, I have to backseat drive. I'm like, hey, you need to turn here.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I'm the worst passenger ever, and I will gladly admit that.
That sounds like it. All right, Allie, thank you very much for the call.
That OCD is crazy.
Yeah, OCD doesn't sound like much fun, you guys. Let's go to Chantel. Chantel is on line four, joining us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Chantel, it sounds like you are spending about 40% of your time dealing with your OCD, right?
Not anymore. It was in high school.
Oh, okay, high school.
It was really, really bad. I mean, I still have some form of OCD with, like, counting and numbers and stuff, but in high school, it started with counting. I used to be religious, you know, raised Catholic, so it started out, you know, doing the sign of the cross. It was, you know, sometimes, and then it was literally like, I'm sick right now, sorry you guys, but every minute, every other minute, I had to do it like once. And gradually, it went from once to three times. And from three times, it jumped to seven times. And you have no idea how horrible it is.
So like every other minute, you had to do the sign of the cross seven times.
Yeah, yeah, and it was bad. And I know, I mean, people were watching me, my teachers were talking to me, you know, it was making people uncomfortable, apparently. And so what I started doing was, I mean, I knew that I had to do it, so I would just try to, like, get it over with and do it really fast. And, I mean, I ended up getting in trouble for it, but it took a really long time, and it controls you. I mean, there's, like, you just, there's no not doing it. You have to do it, and you just find ways to do it quicker.
How do you suppose you got over it?
That particular one, it took a while, but what they started doing was I would get in trouble every time, you know, my teacher would do it. I would literally have to turn my desk around. And, you know, I was in, like, some type, I was, like, in, like, a group home at that period of time. So it was easy for, like, the staff members or something to say, hey, okay, you need to get over this. So when I was back at the house, they would make me, like, kind of face the wall, you know, like a time out. And I'm, you know, 16 years old.
Right.
Well, but it worked.
It worked?
That seems like a rough way to do it.
I love it. Hey, just get over it.
Let's punish her. That'll fix it.
Some nice advice you got. Chantel, I'm so glad you got past that. Yeah. Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's do one more. This is going to be Dwayne on line three. I think he's got the most classic OCD that we think about when those letters come up. Hi, Dwayne. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you doing? How are you doing, Lisa, man?
Good.
We are good. OCD, how does it present itself to you?
How does it present itself to me? Well, I kind of have like a routine. I have to open and shut doors 12 to 20 times.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. So if you do it 13 times or 16 times, it's fine as long as it's between 12 and 20?
Yes.
Well, why don't you just do it 10 then? Why do you?
Well, I just have to tell myself, just screw it. Just, you know what? I got to walk away and leave. Or what else I do is I'd tell my wife and just ask her to lock the door for me, and then she gets pissed off.
Oh, wait. But, so if you ask her to take care of it, you don't have to make sure that it gets done that way?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
It's better than the girl with the driving problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else besides doors?
Yeah. Basically, what I feel is that if I don't do something multiple times, I feel like someone's going to get hurt in my family.
Really?
Well, it started when I was 12. My sister passed away. She had cancer, and she passed away. She was 26, and I just started counting.
That kind of trauma, I imagine, could cause any.
And just flicking lights on and off, and touching the stove, which is really stupid as well, to make sure the stove is not hot or not on.
Wow. Are you past all this now?
I'm a lot better, but I'm not past it. I still have to do the door and do the lights, and I check my kids. I have to put my ear next to them or see their chest rise up and down to make sure they're breathing. They're 7 and 4.
Well, like you said, I mean, you had a trauma as a young person that it will probably never leave you. So, I mean, it sounds like you're doing pretty well, dude.
I'm getting better, but, you know, not where I want to be.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Good luck with you and your family, okay?
Hey, can I ask Kevin if he can take me to a Galaxy game?
Nope.
I can't afford the good tickets.
Is your wife here yet, Ralph?
No, just like in real life, my wife is running late. So on television or in my own personal life, some things are just the same.
Well, Wanda is married to Jake, of course. We're talking about Joe Schmo on Spike TV with its, is this the season finale is tonight at 10
Tonight
o'clock.
Is the big reveal, as they say, where Chase Rogan, our Schmo, really finds out what's been going on for the past
You're
going
to break little Chase's heart. Does he cry? Does he sob?
You got to watch.
Open up a vein?
And keep tuning in after the ambulance leaves. Don't. Do not. The show's not quite over. There's a little bit at the end you're going to want to catch.
Well, actress Amanda Landry is going to join us in studio in just a couple of minutes here on the World Famous Hero. In the meantime, Ralph back at his day job with the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Hey, Justin Bieber turns out to be a douchebag.
What?
What a surprise.
He is making no fans over there in London. He was performing at the O2, you know, the giant O2 arena there in the UK. And as you can imagine, a Justin Bieber concert, tons of parents brought their school kids to go see their beloved Bieber on stage. He was 2 hours late to get on stage.
Oh,
are
what a
you
diva.
Kidding me? 2 hours. And forcing parents to take their children home without ever having seen Justin Bieber.
Can you imagine those little 4 and 5 year olds yelling at their parents and screaming and kicking fits on the way home?
The young fans that did stay, apparently many of them fell fast asleep as they were waiting for the show. 10:35 was well past their bedtime. Londoners are furious with Bieber, calling him a jerk, disrespectful.
These are his fans.
Hundreds of fans were stranded outside the O2 because the show running late caused them to miss the last trains of the night to get back to certain parts of London.
Wow.
So they're standing in the train station with no way to get home.
That's a disaster. What can the possible excuse be for that?
Bieber said it was a technical issue.
He's a douchebag, is
Even though three opening acts went on and performed with flawless technical aspects before he eventually came out on stage at 10:35, this is an 8:30 show, was the time on the ticket.
Wow.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
But at least when he came out, he was wearing gold fingerless gloves and came flying in on giant wings.
Now, we've seen this same story with Guns N' Roses, with Madonna, with some other
Prince.
Acts.
Prince is
famous for that, too. But it does make it a lot worse when, like you said, half your audience is asleep. It's well past their bedtime before you come on.
It was a school night, for God's sakes.
Look, you can only be a complete douchebag for so long before even your fans turn on you, and he seems to be at that point.
Well, I mean, people are reading his tweets in London. I'm talking about him partying all weekend and going out and stuff. The day after this debacle at the O2, he tweeted, "Oh, I just got up," and it was like noon. And people are like, "Oh yeah, nice for you. You can sleep in until noon. My kids have to be in class at 8. So they're nodding off at their desks, but at least you got to sleep in until noon.
On TMZ, somebody in the crowd was videotaping, and they got the crowd booing because he's not coming out yet. So that's sweet. Starting to end.
Oh,
it's the beginning of the end.
Can't wait. I also can't wait for Anchorman 2, especially now that we have this casting news. Harrison Ford signs on to Anchorman 2.
Really?
Bitten.
Ford will play a legendary newscaster a la Tom Brokaw, one of those kind of guys, in the movie that begins shooting this month in Atlanta. Harrison Ford yucking it up.
It's great news.
This is why we couldn't believe it took so long to get Anchorman 2 approved, because it's just money just waiting to be spent, right? I mean, everybody wants to see Anchorman 2. Everybody.
You would think. Yeah. So he joins Kristen Wiig and my buddy Dave Koechner, Christina Applegate, Paul Rudd, Steve Carell, of course, and Will Ferrell as the cast returning to
Can't wait.
Anchorman 2. Harrison Ford!
That's awesome. That's great.
I can absolutely see him as a Tom Brokaw-type older statesman, newsman guy.
But they're going to have to put the words up on the bottom of the screen.
Well, they'll get someone to dub in his role. Don't get me wrong. They'll get a voice double to come in. But, Ron Burgundy, you know, on television, you know, newsman.
Is Ron Burgundy Will Ferrell's greatest role?
I don't know.
That and Ricky Bobby. Ricky Bobby, I think those two may be a tie.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
And the old school guy too, of course. Yeah. Pretty phenomenal. Yeah, I don't know. He's so great.
You can make a long list of great names. Of course, Will got his big break on Saturday Night Live. If you watched this past weekend, you may have noticed that the show's announcer, Don Pardo, was missing. At 95, the first time Pardo has missed a show in many, many years.
Wow.
You can excuse him, I think, this time because he fell and broke his hip.
Oh, wow.
He was taken to the hospital, is reportedly doing just fine, according to TMZ, which broke the story. But
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
95.
Why does he have to be there live? Why? I mean, all he does is the announcing at the beginning of the show, right?
You think you could just record that, and who cares?
Seems like he can do it from his house.
I
yeah,
get the sense that he wants to. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
You imagine being forced to watch the entire show every week?
Well, he naps. He's
okay.
Got nap. He does the thing at the beginning, and then he lies down, and then they wake him up at one. Say, you're on. Saturday Night Live. He just does that.
They could probably take just the tape of him from the past however
many
years.
They must have enough words over the past 30 years or so just to be able to stitch together whatever he needs to say. Put it in a computer.
Well, he's got to announce, you know, the guest host and the musical act every week, and that changes, of course, but...
And it turns out the Bible still has an audience. Did you guys see History Channel's The Bible over the weekend?
No.
I didn't. I read a lot about it from our friend Mark Burnett, right?
TV version of The Bible. I think it would be harder to share that over a weekend. I would think that would maybe have to be a three-day weekend
type.
It's
a pretty big book, right?
TV miniseries.
It does seem like there... Is it just one? One episode?
No, I think it was two.
Two.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The first episode of a miniseries was this weekend, so I guess it is going to be a longer series. Pulled in 13.1 million viewers for the History Channel.
Wow.
Not only is it their highest rated show ever, but it's the highest cable TV ranking so far this year for any show.
Wow.
Wow.
So some people still like the Bible.
It's the greatest story ever told, Ralph.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
The Vikings, by the way, also in history, also had a pretty good debut. 6.2 million tuned in to watch the Vikings. So people love...
Adrian Peterson. Probably what that's about.
That's not the Vikings we're talking about.
Oh.
These are the Norse battling kind. These are the horned helmet, broadsword kind of Vikings. So people love Jesus and Swedes. I've always said that.
You have said that a lot. Yeah.
Were the Vikings Swedish? They were from Sweden, weren't they?
I don't know.
They're Norse, isn't that whole section?
It's close enough.
Where's Norseland?
It's all the same.
You know where Norseland is?
No.
Today's celebrity birthday is model Nikki Taylor. She's 38 years old today. Now, was she the palm tree model?
No.
Was she the one modeling palm trees?
She was the horrific car accident model.
Ah, that's right. She was the wreckage model. It's hard to find. Eva Mendes. She's lovely and talented and could not be sweeter. The other guys, of course, she was in with Will, Mark Wahlberg.
Funny that was funny, too.
38 years old today. Movie producer... And my buddy Scott Mosier, who was, of course, Kevin Smith's partner, did all his films with Clerks and Zach and Miri Make a Porno, all those films. He's 42 years old today. Rome is 43. 43 years old. Now you did it. Oh, no, it's a different Rome. This is the singer Rome. Guitarist John Frusciante, formerly of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I like guitars. He's 43 years old. Penn Jillette turns 58. Eddie Grant. Oh, we're going to have to rock on.
Yes, we do.
To some Electric Avenue a little bit later, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
a lot later.
He's 65. And actor Dean Stockwell from Quantum Leap and JAG. He turns 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
In a reality TV world filled with cheaters, scoundrels, and jerks, is there anyone left who will play fair? We searched America, and we think we've found the answer. Meet Chase Rogan.
Pick me, Bounty Project.
Over the next 10 weeks, Chase will compete in a cutthroat reality show called The Full Bounty. He could win $100,000 and the chance to become America's next great bounty hunter. There's just one catch. It's all fake.
And what? Tonight is when they make a little boy cry.
We maybe do.
Something like that.
But it's with, will we give him a check?
Ralph, introduce us to Amanda.
My lovely yet unfaithful TV wife, Wanda Montrose, is the lovely Amanda Landry.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Nobody should look that good at this hour in the morning. It's unnatural.
Yeah. I also poop flowers, so
I know.
Makes me
heard that about you.
Let me make a note.
How disappointing was it for you? Let's just get this one, you know, out of the way early. When you found out that you were going to be married to Ralph on the show, I mean, seriously,
how dare you,
I
sir?
I could not believe it because I was like really looking forward to Val Kilmer, and then that fell through. Yeah. When Ralph showed up, I was like, meh, yeah, okay.
Val was originally tapped to play Jake Montrose. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
But he couldn't get into the vest.
No.
Yeah. We've talked with Ralph and with some of your co-stars, Amanda, about the process involved in Joe Schmo. Tell me about you and the early days of kind of finding out about the project, auditioning for the project, and your initial understanding of how difficult this thing was going to be.
Well, I think the whole difficult thing about the show was just the surprise factor, in that it was, you know, the way it's written out, it's pretty much 80% improv, 20% scripted. So we have the ability to be free with what we're doing and what we're talking about, which is awesome. But at the same time, we had guidelines. We don't have anyone to, you know, say cut and go again, and we can't start over. So it's like, we're just going for it. Just grabbing the bulls by the horn and just going for it.
It seems like there were three or four times during the season where Chase, the main guy, the only guy that thinks it's real, kind of had doubts and was kind of starting to figure it all out. And it was fun to watch everybody sort of panic behind the scenes.
There were real moments that he was genuinely unhappy and thought that something may be up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At one point he said, this is all a setup.
Yeah.
That's when his convict ran out the window, jumped out the window, and escaped from him.
And the sound guys were out there like, "Hey, how's it going?"
Yeah. He's like, "How did no one see him? Yeah. There's a million people standing out there."
Tell me about the talking to you get as an actor on the show, though, Amanda, when you sign on for it, and they explain to you just how critical every move you make is, because you know there's hundreds of thousands of dollars up in the air that can easily be flushed down the toilet, if you'll pardon the mixed metaphor, if somebody screws up.
What did they tell you when you went into audition? They tell you what the show was about?
No, they just said it was some kind of like improv project. I'm like, oh, SNL. Oh my God, this is big. And I was like, what is this Joe Schmo? And I'm like, oh, now I know what it is. Because it was on, what, like 10 years ago?
The first one was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but it did so well.
And you were like 13 then, right? So you wouldn't even remember it.
I was 10, thank you.
She was in grade school.
Yeah.
So depressing. I realized when I was on the set, it's like, I'm one of those TV guys. I'm the old chubby guy who's got the smoking hot young wife.
I'm like
Jim Belushi on his sitcom.
It's the hot chicks with douchebags.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
Amanda, what did you and the other actors think about Chase? Did you feel bad for him while you were filming the show, or did you genuinely like him? What?
I genuinely liked him from the moment I met this guy. I mean, he has just the most kind eyes, just a good heart, a good soul. And you look at this guy and you're like, oh man, I can't keep doing this. This is so sad.
We are effing with him every day.
So
Chase
bad.
Had such a strong moral compass that the stuff that would bother him more than all the challenges we did and all the weird things we did were like moral dilemma issues. Mm-hmm. He got really weird about that stuff.
Like when he was going to change his vote?
He had to go to Chico and break the news to him that he was going to vote against him because his conscience wouldn't let him do it.
He said, "I just have to let you know, man, ahead of time."
Well, but the biggest problem for him was with Amanda was when she and Randy were going at it in the jacuzzi in the hot tub behind my back while I'm in the hospital.
Oh.
He hated that. He hated it so much.
Wow.
And the bit was, okay, we're going to get him out to the jacuzzi and he's going to try to talk Amanda and Randy into not doing this. And he wouldn't approach them. He was so uncomfortable. Yeah. He wouldn't go near
them. So sad. Because he was a newlewed, so that really hit home.
Oh, I didn't realize he was a newlywed.
Yeah, and it, you know, he had a really big problem because he had so much respect for Jake. And he's like, I remember him saying when we were in the control room, he goes, someone's like, so do you think Wanda's a bounty hunter? He's like, you know, I don't think she's a bounty hunter, but I don't think she does the accounting either.
That's a nice guy's way of saying dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Ralph, was it tough for you to be so gruff with Chase? Because you also genuinely like him, too.
I was supposed to be much more of a badass in the show than I ended up being, because I found myself just naturally softening around him. I couldn't really bust his balls, and I was just being, you know, he had so much respect for me and looked up to me so much that I started to feel like a mentor to him, like a dad figure, you know? So I just started being encouraging, and I really treated him much nicer than they intended when they originally
raised
him.
Asshole!
No, you became Donnie Brasco starting to be part of the mob then because you lived it for so long.
Yeah, but luckily we had plenty of characters who could be douchebags to him, so I didn't feel
Your
too
treatment
bad.
Of Amanda as Wanda, too, is pretty funny. She'll try to start talking, and Ralph will just go, stop it.
No. Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop. Yeah.
I think that's tonight. They've been teasing that forever. I think that moment's actually will come tonight. Yeah.
Or every night in the Garmin household.
How dare you? Yeah. Trying to get away with that at home would not be the same result, I guarantee you.
All right. We need to take a very quick break. Joe Schmo season finale, Spike TV tonight at 10. Our guest is Amanda Landry. She is in studio with us right now. She plays Wanda, Ralph's wife. We'll talk a little bit about what happened last week and how it involved a llama and also kind of set up what to expect for tonight for the big reveal with Chase. When we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
K Rock is KROQ.
That police scanner makes me want to jump into action. Is Jake Montrose?
You know, Jake Montrose is a perp. Just a character.
No, he's kind of real.
Nope.
Yeah, you are listening to the Kevin Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. It's the finale of Spike TV's Joe Schmo tonight at 10. Jake Montrose is in studio with us. That's our own Ralph Garman, along with his TV wife, Wanda, played by actress Amanda Landry.
Yeah.
Ralph, you were starting to tell us right as we had the break last time about when you guys first met when you made the show.
Yeah. Amanda and I were the first people to start rehearsing before they started putting the cast together because we had to learn some specialized skills because they knew we were going to demonstrate on the show, how to frisk a suspect and how to use handcuffs.
And takedowns.
And takedowns and stun guns.
And motorcycles.
And motorcycles. They had us learning how to drive motorcycles. By the way, Amanda, not so
good. It was
good
an epic fail on my part. Yeah.
Before we shot on the first day, quick aside, we were supposed to both drive up on motorcycles. And Amanda, they had trained her on this little Japanese number.
Yeah, it was like a 100-pound motorcycle. I'm like, oh, I got this.
And then when we got there, they gave her a Harley.
Oh, no.
She weighs about 80 pounds, and she couldn't hold it up. And she was driving. She kept laying it down outside the house. So we had her just walk out of the house.
Do they have any of that video that they could release as extras?
I don't believe
God, I hope so.
No. So we met at first because they put us through this little training thing with this guy of the sheriff's department who was going to teach us how to do all this stuff. And so Amanda, hi, nice to meet you. We shake hands. And one of the first things she has to do is I'm a suspect, and she's frisking me. Uh-huh. And the guy said, you got to check the groin because that's where a lot of people put a lot of stuff. Get in there. Really grab it. Really check it.
And then Ralph said, you got to get in there. Really, really check it.
I said, yeah, you don't know what I'm packing down there. I didn't have anything. Contraband.
Some heat.
Find it. And poor Amanda, she's such a sweetheart. She's like just looking away, barely touching me. He's like, get in there, grab it.
And they're both trying to tag team me. I was like, oh, God, this is getting awkward.
So that was our introduction. That's how we first met.
That's the way you want to meet someone, I think.
Yeah. Yelling at him to grab your groin.
Grab my junk. Grab it.
That's funny. So what's it like? And, of course, tonight we'll finally see the reveal when Chase realizes that he's, you know, the only one not in on the joke. What's it like that few minutes leading up to that moment where you know it's about to go down? I mean, you just must be sweating blood at that point, right?
Can you sweat blood?
Ralph.
Yeah, we were. Yeah. We were so nervous.
Because you don't know what's going to happen, right? You don't know what his reaction is going to be. And the worst possible reaction is no reaction, which is, whatever.
You know, well, you know you're not going to get that.
No. Well, I was holding the big check, and I was like, I can't wait to give this to you. And he got, you know, he's like a little upset, and everyone's about to cry, and there's so many emotions going, and there's so much anticipation. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's like, oh, my God, I just want to give you the check and hug you.
Yeah.
And just nuzzle you in my bosoms and tell you it's going to be okay.
Oh, now you want to do that.
That would be the grand prize right there.
Yeah.
Forget the check. Move on to the nuzzling.
Yeah, because you're
it's very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, because you don't want him to be mad, and you don't want him to be hurt. I mean, because you like this guy, you know. I can imagine it would just be a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, you're doing stuff for the good. You know, it's a fun time. It's a big payoff for him. But your concern is that his feelings will be hurt in some way. That he'll feel. You know,
how could he?
Well,
it's been
a complete
mockery of a show based on him being the only one that doesn't know.
But it's for him. The show is for him.
It's based on him being a nice person. That's what that is. And we just want to ruin it.
But I would imagine, like, that night when everything is revealed is just the beginning of what he's going to feel, thinking about it, going through it in the days in the future.
That's a good point. I've talked to Chase since, and he says that he spends a lot of time reliving those days and thinking about everything because it was all fake.
So does he feel like, how could I not have seen A, B, and C?
You'll have to ask him. Yeah. Maybe we can talk to him tomorrow when it's all over and he can tell you.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But I promise you won't be disappointed. If you've been watching the show so far, tonight will definitely satisfy you on a number of different
levels.
It's
a shame he's married, because I think he could really, really turn this into a lot of
The ladies love him.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. They just want to, like, hug him and snuggle him, and he's
put
in
the bosom.
Yeah, and
the bosom
thing's happening.
Right, yeah.
Well, it's very exciting to have it finally draw to a conclusion tonight at 10.
I just wish the show, I mean, there's so much that goes on in the show, so you can't include everything. Yeah. But I wish they had had a camera just following Amanda around during mealtimes so you could see what she packs away in food.
Really?
She would have like six meals a day. She was always eating on the set.
And they couldn't find me. They'd be like, where's Wanda? Call Wanda to set. She's at craft services.
She's at craft services with a plate of like pasta and meatballs and cheese.
Where's it all going?
Her waist is like 10 inches. Nobody knows. I've never seen anyone eat like this girl. I started to mock her. I would say, hey, you know what? It's been 40 minutes. So don't you have another meal coming up?
I would
up?
Start pulling stuff out of my bra, just M&Ms. You'd be like, where the hell heck is that coming from?
She would store food on her body. It was insane.
It's odd. Were you a binger and purger?
No, I'm not a purger. I'm just like a binger
just
and enjoyer. I'm just a binger, apparently.
A binger and napper.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me ask one more question before we say goodbye, and that is, Ralph, I never thought they'd do another Joe Schmo, as you and I have talked about before, because reality TV has gotten so crazy that it seems like it's almost impossible to parody at this point. But they managed to wait 10 years and pull it off. What's your prediction as to whether or not there'll ever be another Joe Schmo?
I don't see it happening. I think this is the last one.
Hmm. Do you think it's too high profile? Like, people will see it coming, or at least be aware of it?
Yeah, and I think there's not a lot of genres that you can successfully mock like we did with the crime-fighting, bounty hunter, repo game style thing that we're doing this time around. There's just not that many. We've already done The Bachelor and Bachelorette. We've done Survivor, Big Brother kind of thing, the first one.
Right.
I don't think there's many straightforward reality genres really that you can take on anymore. I just don't see it happening. But look, I could be wrong. I said it 9 years ago, there wouldn't be another one. And look, maybe in a decade, they'll wheel me out again. And Amanda will be so fat from having eaten all those years.
And we'll just be pregnant, fat.
Amanda, is that you in there?
And they'll be pairing us up once again.
All right. Jake and Wanda for the final time tonight on the finale of Joe Schmo tonight at 10 on Spike TV.
Watch a nice young man get crushed.
Sure.
That's the sell, right?
Yeah. We just rough him up a little bit.
Exactly.
Thank you for coming in today, Amanda. We enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Friday, noon is when tickets go on sale for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013. It's going to be Saturday night, April the 6th at the Gibson Amphitheater featuring Bill Burr and Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, Brad Williams, and our old friend Jay Moore, who joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Jay, how are you, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something, brother. April 5th, April Foolishness, Brad Williams. Ooh. Yeah, get this
smackdown. It's April 6th, but all right, that's fine.
It does sound like a smackdown. You've been walking around butt hurt since the last time you guys were on the bill together because
that
Brad.
I think it's fun. I think Kevin tweeted the lineup, and I do think somebody should actually make an odds chart, like a Vegas sports book, for set of the night. I think that'd be really fun.
Who's going to take? Who's going to take home the crown?
Have legalized gambling in your studio.
Hey, they do the fight of the night on UFC. Same deal. Who's going to have the best set? Jay, you
don't
always
test for pot. Everyone would fail but me.
Yeah. That's correct.
You always bring it. And by the way, if you can't wait until April 6th at the Gibson, you can see Jay Moore, just his own sweet self, on stage this weekend at the Brea Improv. Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday, and then again on Sunday night. Brea Improv. You can go to improv.com to see Jay Moore back in Southern California this weekend.
If you haven't seen Jay yet, shame on you. He's fantastic.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah. you know, Randy Macho Man Savage died in a car accident. He was doing all those Slim Jim commercials. Somebody should have told him, snap into a seatbelt.
See, he gave away that first joke for free, but you can see much more this weekend at Brea. Jay, I have to tell you, because I haven't spoken with you since. We are eternally grateful that you're going to be on the bill for us this year. We're super psyched to have you play in the show, dude.
Look, I'm a comic. If I get to, how many people does the Gibson Amphitheater hold?
It's about 6,000.
Like, what comedian wouldn't bend over backwards to do his act in front of 6,000 people? It's incredible. And what I like most about your bill, no chicks. That's the way to go about it.
Well, now, hold on a second.
We tried so hard to get chicks.
We did.
Why? We invited about a half a dozen.
Because there's some very funny women out there that we'd be honored to have on the show.
From doing, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've championed women comics for a very long time. And anybody that listens to the podcast More Stories knows I try so hard to get girl comics. For some reason, they're the flakiest creatures on the planet. You can't get them to go anyplace. It's unbelievable.
We probably invited 8 to 10, Bean?
And they all probably flaked out. They're all like, oh, I don't know, I got to have dinner with Judd Apatow's people that night.
They all
got like some weird excuse they can't do anything. That's why everybody wants them, everybody wants them to come on board and they don't show up. I don't understand it.
Then we get blamed for it. We have trouble getting women, female comedians, on the show as guests. And you know how many people listen to the Kevin and Bean show, Jay. I mean, I'm not just saying that because it's us. I mean, you know that we sell tickets, yet we still have trouble getting ladies to come in and sit with us.
I don't understand it, Bean. I've only had women cancel my podcast. I had Jenny Mullen on. I've had Aisha Tyler on. And then after that, it's just a laundry list of women that have had like weird excuses. Like, oh, I don't know, I got a friend in town. We're going to get day drunk instead. Swear to God, I had a famous female comedian from the roasts that everybody thinks is attractive tell me, I can't. My friend's in town. We decided to get day drunk.
Whitney Cummings.
No.
So, Jay, what he was mentioning before when he was talking about the odds is last year. We had Brad Williams on the show, and after Brad Williams set, Jay came out and said immediately, all right, we're all just playing for second place.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've been
impressed. You know, Brad said he had rehearsed his set and practiced his set, and like the old gunslinger, I got lazy. And then you got guys like Bill Burr. You got some real, real awesome headliners. This is an incredible, incredible show for anyone to see. Everyone's going to be on top of their game. And I'm excited. It's nice to me, it's like planning to do like a special. Like, I got to get in there. I got to really make it count. I wasn't sure what I was going to open with last year. It's just I was acting like a comic. I don't know. I'll get out there. I'll see what happens. It went great. I had a great time. But the thought of performing for 6,000 people with a set that I've worked on and honed, I'm really fired up about it. And you have an incredible set lined up. And where did it all... Well, it is the charity. Is it Wounded Warriors again?
Yep, Wounded Warrior Project.
Wounded Warrior Project.
You got one guy in Kevin and Bean that actually gives an organ to another human being, and then you guys put together a 6,000-seat, 8-comic show, and the money goes to Wounded Warriors. Apparently, Kevin and Bean are good people.
Let's not get crazy.
Let's not get crazy, right?
Let's make sure you see Jay Moore Friday at the Brea Improv. And make sure you go Sunday, Kevin. That's the most important night.
Sunday's the night you get the door, right?
Yeah, I set you up for that one.
Yeah. No,
I was
most of the
for a Bud Abbott like, and why is that?
Look, you can go either show Friday night or either show Saturday, but Sunday is clearly that's the prize. That's where you get the absolute best. That's the 110%
laughs. Sunday's tonight, Jay, I get all the door, you know.
No, it's going to be great. You'll have a chance to work out anything you need to work out at the Brea Improv this weekend, so you'll be ready. You'll be primed and you'll be ready. Because you know this foolishness is only a month away, Jay. It's fast approaching.
I'm ready. I'm completely ready, and I have a new hour of stand-up.
Wow.
I'm looking for a place to do my new hour. I want to do a new special. I don't think I'm going to do it digitally like those before me. I like the old-fashioned on a channel where you got to turn the channel and record it and DVR it. And sell the DVD. DVDs for sale? I like that old school approach. Maybe I'll sell it to like UPN.
Oh, good. That's a very, very strong. I like it. First UPN reference in 25 years. Hey, yeah. Jay, before we go and before I sell one more time, Brea Improv, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one show Sunday, improv.com. See the great Jay Moore on stage this week. And I have to ask, now that you've been doing it for a couple of months, how has the sports radio thing worked out for you? Is it what you expected it would be?
Better than I thought it would be. It's great. But, you know, it's fun, and I talk, and I have one discernible skill. I talk. All I can do is not shut up, and so people now pay me to talk. And so this weekend, look, people need to listen to Kevin and Bean, Los Angeles. This is a Kevin and Bean town, and much like last year's April Foolishness, we're all fighting for second place in our P1 barrel. So let it be known. Lisa May got pregnant. When Brad Williams is a cannonball, he has to jump head first into the pool.
Well, I want you to know we're listening to you every day on the way home from work, Jay. You're doing a great job. Listen, before you go, I want to give away a pair of tickets. This is the only one we have for today. If you want to go to see Jay Moore at April Foolishness, April 6th at the Gibson with Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, Brad Williams. Tickets don't go on sale till Friday at noon.
Let's have Tracy Morgan give them away, if you don't mind.
Tracy.
I'll tell you right now who I know is not going to have Saturday tonight. I got three names on the top of my head right now. Okay. And that's Girl Comics. She
ain't going to be there. 1-800-520-1067. Caller.
What does that spell out? Hold on one second. You got to make that spell something cool.
It doesn't spell anything. I mean, we haven't checked. It might spell something, but it's not intentional. So 1-800-520-1067. We'll make it caller 50 this hour if you want to win tickets for April Foolishness. Caller 50 and CJ on stage this weekend at the Bray Improv. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Lovely lady there. That is Holly Rowe, who is really smoking tonight.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, guys. I love you. See you this weekend.
All right, bye. You bet. I know we have no time. Ralph was here with the Showbiz Beat, and then we've got another guest in the next hour. But is Diet Boy over there having a peanut butter cookie right now? Is that what's happening?
And a giant 72-ouncer of some sort of soda.
But 2013 is the year it's all coming together.
You'll
lose that weight, right?
You'll see.
Fatter than ever, Bean.
really fatter than ever.
Really,
right?
At the top weight of his lifetime.
He's,
is that right?
Absolutely.
He's entering Mama June territory. That's all I know.
But happy about it. That's nice. All right, time for a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday with Ralph Garman.
Of course he's happy. If you spent all day long just eating cookies and whatever you want, you'd be happy too.
But in between the eating, he is miserable on the couch like, I'm so fat.
Okay, check 1, 2. I'm going to die. I'm going to get diabetes. I'm going to die.
What's that cake?
Hey, okay. All right. Cut me a slice. I'll take the corner. What has more icing? I'm going to rub his hands together like fat bastard from the Austin Powers movies. Get in my belly! All right. This has gone far enough. We need some sort of executive order. We need the president to step in.
SEAL Team 6?
We need to launch the drones. Bieber has to be taken out. He's got to be stopped.
I'm good with that. I'll sign the order.
Thank you, Lisa. He is cheesing off the entire country of England now. He's supposed to perform at the O2 Arena. His show, according to the ticket that everyone was holding, this sold-out show, 8:30. That's what it said on the ticket.
So he came on at like, 8:45, 8:50, something like that? Got people ticked off to have to wait?
Well, let's say 10:35.
2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah. There were 3 opening acts that you could sit through for the first 40 minutes of the show. And then,
bet they were good.
And then another 40 to 50 minutes of Michael Jackson songs that were played over the sound system before he finally took the stage. And he finally showed up around 10:35.
Love it.
But by that point, to the chagrin of many parents of preteen Bieber fans, they had already gone. They had already left because it was a school night. And they couldn't wait any longer. Many kids, they said, were falling asleep in the audience waiting for him. And he just walked down the stage.
Did he say, hey, sorry, everybody?
No apology, nothing. But the next day he did tweet that there was some sort of technical problem, and that was the reason for the delay.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The technical problem was he couldn't find his scissorp.
But I thought he had so much love for the fans, and it was all about them. That's what I thought.
He does, because they are swag, and they give him swag for his swagginess, for all the swag that he swags.
Look, I've had bands that I love go on late, and it makes me angry. It really does.
It should.
It shows a total lack of
respect. It's disrespectful.
At the O2 Arena, how many people does that hold?
It's a monster venue.
30,000 or something?
I have no idea, but I know it's a lot.
Wow.
So anyway, parents using such terms today in the news as jerk, disrespectful, furious, and that's just for Carly Rae Jepsen. No, it's all directed towards him. He tweeted the next day afterwards, wow, just got up. It was 12:30 p.m. in the afternoon when he tweeted that, and a lot of made parents even more angry. We're like, yeah, well, my kid has been in school since 8, and now he's falling asleep during algebra. Thanks so much, you douchebag.
I love it to actually want his fans to turn on him, and now to watch his fans turn on him is sweet.
Pretty spectacular. You guys love the Mad Men, right? Oh, Kevin, I know you do. You can't get enough of the Mad Men.
My favorite show. One of these days, Kevin's going to finish that pilot, man, and he's going to tell us all about how it went.
It's coming back.
Can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait either.
I started seeing the ads during Walking Dead this weekend.
Exactly. However, the opening title sequence may be in jeopardy.
What do you mean?
Well, in that title sequence, you see a black and white image of what we assume is Don Draper. It's sort of a silhouette falling out of a skyscraper past vintage ads from the 60s when Mad Men takes place. There's a beautiful red-headed woman in one of the ads, a model named Gita Hall May. She is now suing the producers of Mad Men for using her image in the title sequence without her permission. The photograph was taken about 50 years ago. She's now 79 years old. She said she only consented to the photo being used for the Revlon ad from which it came from and is accusing the show of secretly cropping her image from the ad and using it for commercial purpose, and she says she wants some cash for that. Many people are asking, why did you wait so long to sue?
That's weird.
Your face has been in the opening credits of Mad Men for 7 years now?
She said something like that.
She doesn't have cable. That was her defense.
Wow. I wonder if she even owns that image, Ralph. I wonder if she even has a right to sue.
I don't know.
But they're changing it?
I don't know what they're going to do. There is a lawsuit that says she is the centerpiece of the title sequence. That she personifies the beauty of the period. She was an iconic female beauty of the age, and she wants to be compensated for, and I quote, the revenues that her image contributed to the profit of Mad Men, which stands at an estimated $1 billion in profit they've made from that show.
Well, no one would have watched the show if it hadn't been that fleeting second of her face in the opening credits.
That's what we're all saying. That's what Gita Hall May is saying, and I think she's right. I think she should get $2 billion. I think she's even more important than the show. Madness. Today's celebrity birthday is Nikki Taylor's 38 years old today. Eva Mendes is 38 as well. Scott Mosier, movie producer, did all of Kevin Smith's films when they were working together with the View Askew production company. Zach and Mir makes a porno, Clerks, you name it. Scott was right by Kevin's side. 42 years old today. Singer Rome. It says here is 43. Have we sourced that? Is it possible Rome is 43?
Can't
for Sublime.
So. He took over for Sublime when he was 22 or 23.
Now, I'm sure that band ages you. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think it actually moves time forward and makes you 43.
That's hard to believe.
We may have to source this. If anyone in the office can hear my voice. If anyone's listening to the show this morning, maybe they could do it real quickly and then get
you got it from the Mexican News Network, right?
I did get it from...
It could be sketchy, then.
From MNN, yes. John Frusciante, formerly of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 43. Yay, cake! Penn Jillette is 58 years old. Eddie Grant is 65!
Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Yeah, Eddie Man!
Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Oh, that's Eddie Grant, all right.
Oh, I want to go to Electric Avenue.
Where is that?
It's right next to Combustion Engine Boulevard. I don't even know what that means. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got some more interviews from Doto out on the street. We played part one for you yesterday. Wait till you hear part two. That's coming up. Plus, keep on listening to K-Rock for details and chances to win tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013, Saturday, April 6th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. And you can get those details at krock.com. Hey, Andy Signor. How are you, my friend?
Great.
Andy is a name you don't know, but if you have something called the internet, you have no doubt seen some of his work because you're essentially what used to be called a head of a television network, except you're running a bunch of sites on the internet and you're getting millions and millions of people to enjoy your work every day.
Well, thank you very much. It's not just me, but yes, our break.com is where I work.
We do a lot of exciting content. But a lot of you probably know me for my Honest Trailers, which is a show I help with a bunch of people. And we're very proud of it. And we're very grateful for all your support because you guys, I know, play it a ton.
We put the Honest Trailers in the Internet Roundup all the time because they're so funny. They actually tell the truth about the series. Now, what's the new Twilight one? Is that
we just did Breaking Dawn Part 1 and 2 as an Honest Trailer. The fans have been demanding it.
Right.
And so we put them both in one. And it's a very creepy movie. So it was very easy for us to do. But it's a very annoying one to do because we have to actually watch all the Twilight movies.
Yeah. Do you or do you have someone else watch it?
Well, we all do, but our editor, Dan, has to really suffer. In fact, we just did one before this that was basically we took the entire saga and just made The Stairs, which I don't know if you guys are familiar, but
yes,
there's a lot
of stairs
in the film, and we had to make our editor find every stair from the Twilight movies. He was very upset with us, but it was very worth it. Everyone loves it.
You're just torturing him, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Here's a little bit of that Honest Trailer where they tell the truth about Twilight.
Witness Teen Wolf finally getting over dead eyes by instead falling in love with her creepy CGI baby.
So should I start calling you dad?
No.
Gross. But when Mouth Breather nearly dies during childbirth, Shovel Face must transform her from a human who can't act.
Why can't you see how perfectly happy I am?
To a vampire who can't act.
You nicknamed my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster?
Wow.
Strong.
Awesome. Did Honest Trailer come about because somebody realized that they can make even the crappiest movie look pretty good if they cut it down to 45 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, Was
it your idea?
Yeah, it was a couple of our ideas, and we have a site called Screen Junkies. That's youtube.com/screenjunkies is where you can see all these. And that's we just wanted to make fun of movies, and that was sort of the way I thought this would be fun. Like, what if we really, instead of just do sort of a rant on the movie, like, what if we did it in a trailer that was honest? We started with Phantom Menace, which was a very easy one to do because
sure.
we were all very upset with it.
Sure.
And then we went to Titanic, which once we tackled that one, which is actually, it is a good movie.
Right.
Once we figured out, wow, we can do this, we like, this is working, we realized we were onto something and we kept doing
it. You can do it with any movie if you can do it with a good one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How many people per day, or however you have the numbers broken down, watch stuff that your company produces, Andy?
Well, for Honest Trailers, there's about four of us that really write on those. And I would say one of us will take the lead on a movie. We'll all chime in, have sort of a writer's room about it. But at Break, which is break.com, you know, we're basically a hub of the largest video humor site. Trinity's is one of our sites. We have tons of content. It's a super large company. I can't take all that credit, obviously. But
that's not what you were saying off the air.
Yes. But yes, we do a lot of funny stuff over there. I'm very proud of Honest Trailers particularly.
But I'm trying to get a feel for how many people are seeing your stuff. I mean, it's way bigger than television, right?
I mean, Honest Trailers, yeah. We get about a million views every episode on Honest Trailers particularly.
Break.com has a bunch of other sites that you kind of run. I mean, you guys are behind Chickapedia, which is my favorite, right?
Yes. Damn You Autocorrect, Screen Junkies, Made Man. We actually just developed a really cool new show, which it's actually doing really well as well. Some of your viewers may have seen it. It's called Man at Arms. And basically, it's a show that we developed where basically I found this awesome blacksmith in Burbank named Tony Swatton. And he is a real blacksmith. Like, that still happens. And each week, he takes a pop culture item, batarangs, like a He-Man sword, Odd Jobs hat, things like that, and actually crafts them from hand, and you watch the entire process.
No kidding. We shoot
it really slickly, and he's just a really good personality, and it's been blowing up for us. We're really excited about it, and I definitely encourage your viewers to check it out.
What a bizarre job you have. It seems like almost anything you can think of, you can figure out a way to do something with, right? I mean, you're not really limited. You don't really have somebody telling you what you have to film and put up.
No, I mean, we want to do stuff that people want to watch. That's definitely obviously a thing. But it's a very fun job figuring that out. We've become very good at it. I think we're a good curator of what's funny and what's cool and wowy on the internet. And,
did you use the word wowy?
I did.
That's a technical term, Kevin.
Something you would say.
it's above our pay grade. I would imagine that there are so many people. Well, we have to take a break here with Andy Signore here on the Kevin Bean Show, Director of Programming from Break Media. But when we come back, I want to talk about how you got into this line of work, because I'm sure there are a million people listening right now who go, hey, I like funny stuff on the internet. Why can't I do that for a living?
Yeah, they're all on YouTube.
Yeah. Want to find out what it takes to get a job and what the how things are changing, because it is amazing. I mean, it's hard to imagine that we used to live in a world without the internet, isn't it?
Not that long ago.
We used to survive without having anything on a computer screen, which is just you can't even imagine a world like that anymore.
Remember car phones?
Yes. All right. Our guest is Andy Signor from Break.com at Break Media on Twitter. If you want to follow, we'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Got a real live mogul in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andy Signor joins us. He's the director of programming. What?
Shaking his head. No.
He's waving y'all.
He's not a mogul? You're not a mogul, Andy? Why aren't you a mogul?
I wish.
You're a cheese. You're a big name.
You're a cheese.
People You're the program director for Break Media. That's a big deal.
People know my work, and I'm fine with that.
I want to know how you got, because this seems from the outside for most, you know, schmucks who are working hard, you know, hard jobs out there really working for a living as opposed to what you do. They look at you and they go, wow, I want a job like that. Tell me how it happened for you, Andy. How did you end up in this position?
Well, yeah, I guess I started making videos myself on YouTube. I've been doing it since a kid, and then I guess the one that really hit for me, you just got to keep doing them, is really the advice. I did one called United 300 that won me an MTV Movie Award in 2007, and so that sort of definitely put my, you know, my name out in the radar, and that got me a little bit more notoriety, and so I used that to get more gigs and more professional work, and just kept, you know, working on it.
I'd like to say, if you don't mind just for a second, in ruining everyone's dreams, that not everyone, even if they stick to it, will ever make it.
I agree with you.
It's just not true. Some people shouldn't be doing it.
There is a lot of bad videos on YouTube. That not to say you can't still have fun doing it.
Correct.
Of
course.
But when you made that video, and I remember the one that you're talking about, it was one where somebody was trying to hijack a plane, and then all the gladiators from 300 were on the plane to fight them, right? To fight the terror, right? So you made that, but at that time, were you just doing it for fun, or were you thinking, hey, I need to figure out a way to break into show business?
Everyone always thinking that a little bit, but I did that because I was a fan of the MTV Movie Awards. Like, I love Ben Stiller's shorts, and the opportunity to make one of those felt really exciting to me. And so the fact to win one and get Samuel Jackson to hand me a thing is definitely
that's crazy.
It's like it was a very surreal, crazy moment. And clearly that helped a lot. They didn't pay me anything, which was a bummer. but they made more money on it. But I definitely got way more out of it. That was worth it and a lot of fun.
Are there, for people who are listening now who love this sort of thing, love the sites that you run and everything like that, is it difficult to break into as a career?
I mean,
you have hundreds of people working for you, so I assume that there are jobs.
I mean, content right now on the internet is extremely hot. Everyone's looking. We're looking. We're always, if you have a great series out there, an idea, definitely reach out to us. You can upload those videos to Break. We even have a mobile app. You can upload it from your phone. All that stuff can be given, you know, a break anywhere. You can make, you know, make your own stuff now, which is amazing. It's not always great, but the stuff that is great can find a place very easily now. So, you know, that's... There's no reason why, I hate people who are like, I want to be doing something. Why aren't you doing something? That's definitely the biggest thing. You got to keep at it.
Most people, if they have an idea, the technology has come to, it's got to a place where most people can make something that looks decent if they try, right?
Yes. I mean, like the Canon 7Ds and stuff have made life a lot easier for filmmakers. I think just Macintosh in general has made it so everyone can make a very solid product. But that's still, you know, there's definitely a switch of like people can technically do it, but there's still a craft I feel like a lot of people need to learn more and really practice it on and learn comedy beats and things like that. That I feel like, that's something I honed my own interest in of like how to work with actors and how to get those things so things can be better.
How did you learn that? Just by doing it?
Yeah, you just got to do it and do it more. And hopefully if you're good at it, you keep doing it.
How much craft did you have before you finally got noticed from somebody?
I mean, I'm here today, so this is probably the first major time. So it's been a lot of crap. I worked at a urine drug testing facility for several years.
All right.
Right as I won the MTV Movie Award. So I dealt with a lot of, you know, urine and crap.
Sure. That definitely counts as paying your dues, by the way.
If you want to break into showbiz, that's how you have to start.
Tell me about the Screen Junkie show, because that's another of the most popular things that you're behind, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the success of Honest Trailers, we wanted to launch something else that had a face. You know, we had a voice, but we wanted something that, you know, wasn't just clips. And so we brought in this amazing comedian, Hal Rudnick. He's our host, and each week we basically take something, you know, pop culture, film and TV, and really just do a hardcore analysis of it or do a rant about it. We have other people come in as well, where we did one I'm proud of in January, where we made just a big rant about why Die Hard 5 was going to suck. And we were ahead of the curve because it really did suck. And it was just he went on this whole smack about why it was going to suck, and it all proved true. And so that's really what we try and do, just stand up for film fans out there and be their voice.
It is funny that you found such a niche there, because everybody knows that trailers can be completely deceiving. And all of the press leading up to a movie can be completely deceiving. And so you were excited about it, or you're not. You think it's going to be terrible. You get completely surprised a lot of times. It's just not good advertising.
No,
I mean, it's good in that they get you to go, but a lot of times it's a lie.
Well, a lot of times the movies aren't very good.
Yeah,
either.
That's
They're just
the
trying
point.
To trick you to go see the movie. Yeah.
Before we let you go, Andy, and it's really interesting to get a peek into your world here. You have a new show with Paul F. Tompkins that sounds really fun. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we've been doing that for a while. It's called Speakeasy. It's on our Made Man YouTube channel, and that is every week. Just about every week, we go to a bar. He drinks with a celebrity. We've had Zach Galifianakis on, Damian Lewis from Homeland, Aziz Ansari. It's a really good guest list, and each week is like a 25-minute chat. And what's really fun about the show is they really respect each other, and they really sit and have a conversation that you don't really get on a late night show or anything else.
Who drank the most?
Paul clearly has to drink a lot. We shoot 4 days, so he's got to drink a lot. He drinks a lot.
And it's just so fascinating because, a few years ago, that would have been the type of show that somebody would have pitched on television. It would have been on Comedy Central or something like that. Now you don't even have to think about television networks. You can just put it up online and get just as many people watching, which is really such an exciting time to be living in and making content.
It's true. We're very excited. And that's what we're trying to do right now. We're making really good premium content. We're very proud of it. And we're going to keep doing more.
All right. How do you want people to get in touch with you if they're interested, Andy, if they've got the next billion-dollar idea?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think upload it to break.com or on our app or on the website, or reach out to us, I guess, on Twitter at Screen Junkies or at Break are good ways to reach out to us, and definitely just keep making stuff.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it. Thanks so much. And thank you so much for the support of Honest Trailers and your audience. It's so grateful. I'm so grateful for it, and I really appreciate it.
No worries.
Got a lot of great stuff to give away here on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including passes to check out the Sound City Players with Dave Grohl and friends on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. That's coming up also at 9:10, about a half an hour from right now. We'll qualify you for KROQ's World Tour 2013, Destination Number 8. It's Depeche Mode in Moscow. That's in Russia, you guys. That Moscow? That's the one, not the one in Idaho, right? Oh. Plus, you'll win the new Depeche Mode album, which isn't even out yet, called Delta Machine. You'll be on that standby boarding list. That's at 9:10 this morning here on the world famous K-Rock.
So Rob was doing the showbiz yesterday, and he told us that LaToya Jackson, who is, I think, the crazy Jackson, and that's a pretty tough category.
Yeah, she's pretty nuts, though. You're right.
She's probably in the, I would have to put her in the top five craziest of all the Jackson siblings.
Right. It's a pretty crowded category.
It is. I mean, when you think about it, almost everyone in that family is mentally damaged.
She's supposedly an agent now, Ralph told us, and she has three clients, and they are all Michael Jackson's kids.
Uh-oh. That sounds like trouble.
So that seems, I don't know, like somebody's honing in on some cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she looks at Little Prince in Paris and Blanket and says, huh, a lot of people might be interested in paying them money to do various things. Maybe I'll get me a piece of that. So we wanted to find out, is this possible? Could this be true? Would she be so cold to move in on her late brother's family like this? So we, I believe we hooked up the hotline to him, and we're going to talk to Michael. Is that right?
Oh! Demo! Woo!
Hey, Michael Jackson, how are you?
I'm good, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
It's been a long time since we talked to you. What's shaking in heaven?
It has been a long time. What's shaking in heaven?
What is shaking in heaven? What's going on? What's happening? What's everybody talking about? What's the latest? What's the haps?
We're just waiting to find out who's going to sing the next James Bond theme song.
Oh, yeah, that's an adventure.
It's always an adventure.
I feel like somehow I'm being mocked. Look, I'm just asking you how
not.
It's going.
It's an adventure.
All right, so Michael, listen, the reason we wanted to talk to you is your crazy sister LaToya, who's not only back on my TV on Celebrity Apprentice. I don't know if you get that show up there in heaven or not.
No, that's only shown in hell.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But some reports, according to the New York Post, page 6, says that she has taken over as the manager of your kids, Prince Paris and Little Blanket, if you remember them.
What?
Michael is surprised.
Demo!
Come on, good delivery.
That was very well done. That was very well done. So what do you think about this? I mean, to us, look, we don't know anything about anything, but she doesn't look like the person who kind of has the business wherewithal to maybe make the right decisions. Because look at her own career. What makes her think she can do something better for your kids?
Not only would I not let LaToya make decisions for my children,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't let LaToya make breakfast for my children.
Yeah. She apparently is the head of their business management team.
Well, I'm just glad that they have an agent, because the one thing I wanted when I was alive was for my children to be in the public eye. I was always forcing them out in front of cameras and the paparazzi, making sure their pictures were taken, uh-huh. making sure they did lots of interviews, and everybody right. saw them all the time.
I don't remember that. I remember them having costumes.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I'd put Halloween masks on their face so no one would see who they are.
Yeah. Right, and they never did a single interview.
I would cover a child named Blanket with an actual blanket.
That's right.
That's how much I didn't want them to be seen by the public. Yeah, I wanted them to have a normal life out of show business.
And now they're on, you know, they're on Twitter and they're doing TV interviews and they're at movie red carpet premieres. They're just they're everywhere. They're barely ever home anymore.
I did see Prince Michael on Entertainment Tonight.
You did? What do you think?
Well, at 16, he certainly has all the qualifications to be an entertainment journalist.
Right. That didn't make any sense. He's doing work for them, did it?
No, not really. I mean, it's not a hard job. I understand that. If Pat O'Brien could have done it, anyone could do it. But I'm just saying that maybe they could just be kids for a while and not have to be thrust into show business.
Right, because you had your childhood taken away from you.
If I wanted my kids in show business, I would have done with what my dad did, which is beat them with a belt.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's no good.
That's
now, I understand, before we come down on LaToya, I understand she did get some work for your son, Prince, though. She did get him booked on Beverly Hills 90210.
The canceled one.
That's right. Right. That's the one that's going away. Well, yes, exactly.
Maybe she can get him a role in The Office. Something with a future.
Right, exactly. All right, so for the record, then, you are saying no thank you to your sister, LaToya.
So LaToya is in charge of my children?
That's the rumor. Yeah, that's what we heard.
So she gets to say what they...
Yeah. She's in charge of their business life. Oh, no. Michael. There's no vomiting in heaven. What's going on?
And that's what's shaking up in heaven.
Part two of Interviews on the Street by Doto, the International Man of Mystery. We played part one for you yesterday. They were amazing. And apparently we still have more to go. Is that right, Kevin?
Yes, we do. We have part two.
Very excited. Coming up right after the top of the hour here on KROQ. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
Before I get into Showbiz News, I want to give stuff away.
Okay.
That's how I roll. I'm like Santa.
I'm not like Santa.
You don't look much. Does Santa have a soul patch?
Sure. Yeah, he does. The new cool hip Santa does. I want to give you some tickets to one of my favorite events of the year, which is Paley Fest 2013, the Paley Center. Formerly known as the Museum of Television Radio. They do tributes. They do evenings with TV shows past and present, where you get a chance to spend the night with your favorite casts and creators of your favorite TV shows. And by spend the night, I mean you get
sleep
to sit in the Saban Theater. And no, not sleep with it all. Sit in the Saban Theater and listen to the Q&A and hear them talk about the show. And it's a fascinating evening. If you are a fan of TV like I am, you will enjoy it. It's been going on since March the 1st, goes all the way through the 15th. There still may be some tickets available for some of the nights at the PaleyCenter.org. That's P-A-L-E-Y, PaleyCenter.org, if you want to see if you can get it. But this year they're honoring shows like The Walking Dead, Community, Big Bang Theory, Revolution, The Newsroom, Nashville, Arrow, and many, many more. I have got tickets to give away to the March 11th evening, which may be, in my opinion, the best of the night, because I bet you it'll be the funniest. It's the Paley Center salute to New Girl.
Ah. Yay!
Consistently one of the funniest shows on television, in my opinion. Every week I watch it, every week I laugh out loud.
Yeah, solid. Top to bottom.
And I don't do that very often when I watch TV comedies. But Schmidt and Nick, those characters are just so spectacular. And Zooey Deschanel is great on it. The entire cast will be there, along with the creators. You get to see Max Greenfield and everybody involved with the show. If you want to go, and why wouldn't you, if you're free March the 11th, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Unlike Bean, I'm not going to make it caller number 50.
That's funny, for the intern.
To punish Chip. It wasn't the intern, it was Chip.
Oh, sorry.
Who was going? Caller 27, caller 28.
Well, the last giveaway I did was caller 1 through 4, so I'm not. It's not like I'm trying to torture her. I'm just trying to mix it up.
Let's do 150.
So if you only stab her once instead of stabbing twice, then that makes you a good person.
I'm with Kevin. Caller 150.
No, I think 150. It's my giveaway, and just I say the first two callers who get through will get a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creators of New Girl.
Call right now, and we'll get right back to you. No. We're not getting back to anyone. I don't know why I said that.
We're not getting back to you. The backlash against Seth MacFarlane and the Oscars continues.
How is that possible?
It's mad. You would think he slit the throat of a puppy on stage and let it bleed out. Like, that was the opening number.
People, if you didn't like the Oscars, you should be over that by the next day at noon, okay?
They're treating it like somebody took a poop at the Vatican or something during high mass.
That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome. But it would upset a lot of people.
Yes.
And I'm as big an Oscar fan as you can get. And I'm an apologist. I'm the guy who says, no, give me the whole 3 hours. Give the awards to the lighting guy and
You're
the sound
insane.
Guy. No, I get that because I understand it's the movie industry's night to award the people who do good work there, and that's what the thing is always about. And we get to eavesdrop and be the fly on the wall at their ceremony. So you don't have to tailor it for my taste. Do what you do. But I also say, in the final analysis, it's a bunch of rich, famous people giving each other gold statues.
That's true. It means nothing.
It means nothing. You really got to tell me that Argo is somehow so much better than Lincoln was, that Lincoln is a lesser film than Argo is a better. How do you compare something like that? It's pointless, really.
It is. It is. It's ridiculous.
It's just a nod. It's a nice acknowledgement, but it's not sacrosanct. You know, this isn't so pious that we can't have any room for humor in it.
And let me speak more to the point about Seth MacFarlane, and that is, there are going to be hosts of various qualities year in and year out, but in the big picture, it doesn't matter. It's just a guy on TV for 3 hours. Who cares whether you liked it or not? It doesn't matter.
Well, Jamie Lee Curtis has now written a big piece that was on
I've been waiting for her response.
Huffington Post. She took it upon herself to be the barometer of good taste, and her article, I'll just read you a little piece of it, but the title of the piece is, "And the Oscar Goes to Hell." That's the title of her piece.
That's not overstating it at all, Ralph.
Now, the Oscars were, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, two all Sundays right. ago.
This came out yesterday.
Okay.
On the Huffington Post. It was posted there. The boob song, as it will be known in perpetuity, may go down as the highest-rated Oscar number in history.
It was the best Oscar number in history also, by the way.
But at what cost? I'm sure public executions would get big ratings, too. But
what?
Is that what the Oscars are truly about?
We saw your boobs. We saw your boobs. In the movie that we saw your boobs.
How can anyone not like that?
Look, public executions? You're equating the boob song to public executions, first of all. And secondly, it was positioned by William Shatner as a warning to Seth MacFarlane. Don't do this song. It's wildly inappropriate and it'll ruin the Oscars if you do it.
Right. It was clearly a comedy bit.
Context matters. And it was saying, this is a horrible idea. Don't make this song. It was a spoof of bad Oscar moments.
Right.
Well, she is painfully offended by what was happening. And she goes on to talk about that. To the point where she has this, she ends the article with this poem. There was a time when men were kind, when the voices were soft and the words were inviting. There was a time when love was blind, and the world was a song, and the song was exciting. There was a time, and then it all went wrong. So apparently the boob song is causing the end of life as we know it on the planet.
Bitches be crazy.
Needless to say, she was offended by the Oscars.
Oh, you. Lisa, you're sort of a woman. Were you offended by...
Which part is sort of?
Why would you... Exactly.
She's all woman.
I'd like to
start
know
a question
where
like
you're
that
looking exactly.
Were you offended by Seth MacFarlane's hosting of the Oscars?
Not at all.
What about the part where he complained that he made a joke about Zero Dark Thirty saying that women just can't let anything go, and 2 weeks later there are still people blogging about how upset they are about it?
Not at all. Those are just jokes.
They're jokes.
They're just jokes.
They're just jokes.
No, it did bother me a bit.
You know what? We come in and we discuss things the next day, but really, 2 days later, it's old news.
We're done.
You have to have moved on, right?
Yeah.
And you know what you're getting with Seth MacFarlane. You know the comic sense of humor that he has.
Now, there may be a clue in this article that I found a little, two sentences, three sentences.
She was in there, in the song, right?
She was in the song, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, spectacular cans.
I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Magical, real, natural boobs. In her day, maybe the best set of boobs in movies.
Right.
That being cast aside, let me read you this little piece, which I thought was interesting. I knew who Seth MacFarlane was. My teenage son is a big fan. I knew what to expect. I have been the butt of his humor. I have survived his cruel, cheap jokes. I'll have to look through my box sets of Family Guy, but I'm guessing that there is a Jamie Lee Curtis joke in there somewhere.
If so, let's bring it on the air and play it.
This is dusty, and we're well past talking about the Oscars. But when I read this article, it just caught my attention so much, and I was so flummoxed by it that I could not help but share it with you today. So I just I beg your indulgence, and thank you so much for letting me just get that
call right now, and we'll get right back to you.
That's right. If you call right now, we'll get right back to you. Meanwhile, there's real travesties going on in the world, like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, let's get to this.
Let's post that. He delayed his show in the UK for 2 hours, forcing parents to take their children home. Witnesses say outside the O2 Arena in London, there was a sea of weeping, crying girls being pulled by the hand of their parents saying, no, it's 10:30, we have to go home. The ticket said 8:30 for the Justin Bieber show. 2 hours later, he had yet to appear on stage. Many of the parents had to take their school-aged children home. Many of the kids apparently had fallen asleep waiting for him to come out on stage.
Can you imagine how hard that was on the parents? Because those
your kid to be happy more than anything else, right?
He must have been just sobbing at the top of their
lungs.
And
you're doing what's best for the kid, which is to get him in bed before 11 o'clock. And they're just screaming, Mom, I want to see Justin! The good news is, though, because he was on so late, the last trains leaving the train station near the O2 Arena had run, so many people were stranded with no way home.
People who did stay were stuck.
Yeah. So it was a great evening had by all. So there's your Justin Bieber. Where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? Jamie Lee Curtis, where's your outrage piece about that? And the Oscar goes to hell.
Where's the outrage there?
Not overstated at all. She's married to Christopher Guest.
Yeah.
How could you be so humorous?
Very funny guy.
It's a good point.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Model Nikki Taylor is 38 years old today. Actress Eva Mendes is also 38. Movie producer Scott Mosier, partner of Kevin Smith for many years and a talented guy in his very own right, 42 years old today. Singer Rome. A funny thing about this Rome thing. Turns out Dave, the King of Mexico, gave me this thing on my birthday list here. Rome is 43 years old today.
Now it's 3 minutes after 9. How long have we been saying it's Rome from Sublime?
It's not Rome from Sublime.
How long have we been saying it? Since 5:50?
Since 5:50.
All right.
It's an R&B singer named Rome.
Who nobody has ever heard of, so thanks for putting him on the list.
Dave said, no, it's this guy. And he showed me a YouTube video. I was like, who the hell is that guy? He did this song. Well, I can imagine that.
Apparently, according to our listener, Dick, he had a number 6 song in 1997 called I Belong to You.
That was the song Dave pulled up for me. As proof positive that there was a Rome celebrating his 43rd birthday today, but not the Rome from Sublime, people.
Well, that's on you for trusting Dave.
I apologize. Well, so it's simple. It's names and numbers. I figure that much he could do for me every day.
But the R&B singer is the guy who hosts the sports radio show. That's the same guy, right?
That is true. That's absolutely true. Ugh. Penn Jillette, comedian magician, is 58 years old today. John Frusciante of Red Hot Chili Peppers at one time is 43 years old. And singer Eddie Grant turned 65. We don't even have time for Electric Avenue. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I could not stop thinking about the Doto interviews you played for me yesterday, Kevin. They were great.
Doto rules. He's
the international man of mystery.
We call him that because it's impossible for us to get a hold of him. Even when he says he wants to make it in show business all the time, it takes us a couple of weeks to get him on the show. So Omar has been working behind the scenes trying to get him to go out and record some interviews. He thinks he would be good at interviewing people on the street.
DJ Omar Khan.
And Omar, you had a lot of trouble even wrangling Doe to go out and do these interviews on the street, right?
Well, it's not only me. It's Dave and I.
Yeah, both of you, yeah.
And like when I'm trying to be specific, I'm like, are you going to be here? Call me. He contacts Dave for some weird reason.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, I need you to call me to make sure. He calls Dave.
Right.
And then, but I set everything up. I'm like, this is what we're going to do. He's like, oh, yeah, totally. But when it comes down to like a meeting up, he contacts Dave for some weird reason. Mm. Yeah. So it's been a tag team with me and Dave.
So this is Omar and Doto now as they head down to 3rd Street Promenade. And just listen Here's why Omar rules, because Omar asks him what he what's he talking about, soup plantation or something?
A buffet, and who
then,
knows?
And then it's super uncomfortable, and Omar does not step in.
Yeah.
And Doto just keeps on going.
I just stick the microphone in his face and let it ride.
I like to talk about buffets.
What about buffets?
People should go to soup plantation. It's pretty healthy. A lot of vegetables, a lot of tomatoes, mushrooms, onions, and raw vegetables, and it can help someone lose weight. It's definitely good. It can help people not to be too stuffed. Much better than hamburgers. And also, it can help people to have a longer lifespan.
All right, he's got some health concerns.
How does his mind work where it keeps going like that?
I don't know. He
I think he's uncomfortable, so he butts right back in with more stuff.
And then I think it also, he's like, he doesn't want to tell me no. He wants me to approve of what
course.
He's doing. You know, so he keeps going.
He does. And he does well on the street as he asks about Django Unchained. I have to tell you that ahead because you probably won't recognize it as he says it.
Have you ever watched the movie The Django Unchained?
Yeah, Django
Unchained. And what do you think of people using the N-word? Is it a bad idea? That's a pretty bad idea, right?
I don't think so in film.
That's why we're Americans, right?
Woo! Woo, America.
Where did that excite? He has weird excitement levels that come at the wrong times. Yeah. Almost exclusively at the wrong time.
It's like they flip a switch and all of a sudden he's happy. I don't know.
That guy just bolted right after.
Of course.
Like, he just like, boom, beelined it out.
Because here's a guy asking him if the N-word is okay to use in regular society, and then he shouts that we're Americans.
Yep.
Tell me what happened with the cop. You noticed something.
Yeah. So we were walking, doing the interviews, and 3rd Street Promenade security came up to us and said, just asked us casually, you know, what we're doing. And we're telling, you know what, we're from K-Rock. We're just conducting some interviews. And then we were cool. You know, no worries. We did some more interviews. And Doto saw Santa Monica PD. And I don't know how he saw him because, I mean, he must have been like half a block away.
Right.
And he got super nervous. So like, are we going to get arrested? He started asking me a bunch of questions. Are we doing? Is what we're doing illegal? I'm like,
well,
no, we're good.
That's a valid question.
Just talking to people on the street?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't want to get in trouble, but
okay, whatever. But I wanted to mess with him, so he started acting all jumpy. So I started. I was like, dude, you want to go interview him? This is what happened.
Why are you afraid of the cop?
I'm not afraid of cops.
You're not? Let's go talk to him.
Why?
Let's interview the cop.
About what?
Unless you got something to hide.
I don't have something to hide.
Do you have something to hide?
Yeah. What are we going to interview?
Why are you acting all nervous? Because the cops are there. They're not doing anything. They're not even looking at us.
Okay, no worries.
Do you want to go interview him?
I don't care.
Okay, let's go interview him then. If you don't care.
Well, I'm not going to follow the cops all the way there, you know? Let's do some, we can do some, save us some at a time.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I wonder why Doe Bag of Knives Toe would be intimidated by the police officers.
Yeah. I don't know, but I think I would have cracked under that pressure of the cross-examination from Omar. This is a... Doto's questions are all about food. Food is very important to him.
That is,
and he wants to know specific things about food.
Where do you know that there's a pretty good croissant in L.A., croissants?
I'm not from here at all. I'm from Texas, and I have no idea.
You know what? How about Texas Steak? Which place do you recommend in Texas that's really good for Texas barbecue?
By the way, on the fly, that's pretty quick thinking.
For dough?
I mean, not that anyone here cares what's the best place in Texas to get a steak, but he responded pretty well when he started out looking for croissants in Los Angeles and ended up in Texas looking for steak.
Now, I thought he was looking for Texas barbecue in L.A. No? That's not what he was looking for?
No, that's what I got to.
That's what I thought.
Because the lady said that she was out of town, right?
She said,
right, and that's
Texas?
Why I thought it was a hilarious follow-up question.
Maybe.
She doesn't know where croissants are. Why would she know where barbecue is? She's not from here.
Yeah. That's possible, yeah. He loves Steven Seagal movies.
He sure does.
But he can't say Seagal for the life of him. It's always Cigar. And this guy's a little flummoxed by it.
Quick question. Have you ever watched the movie Steven Seagal before, Hard to Kill, back in 1990?
No.
And are you a fan of Steven Seagal?
Not really.
He doesn't play a lot of movies these days, you know?
Now, here's what I like about Doto. He doesn't let that bother him, that the guy's not a fan of Steven Seagal. He just keeps going.
That's true.
Because I know that back in the 80s and 90s, he was pretty active, man.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Thank you very much.
Now, what does he expect a guy on the street who's not a fan of Steven Seagal to respond to? Back in the 80s and 90s, he was pretty active, man. What does he expect him to say?
I think he's just trying to carry on a conversation. That guy's rude. That's all. Anyone? So Omar's talking to him about his recent travels in China.
Yeah.
And Doto brings up a very curious thing.
So you were in, what, China recently?
Yeah, I was in China. A lot of prostitutes there.
Tell me more.
He starts with a lot of prostitutes there.
A lot of prostitutes there.
How many did he bang?
Maybe one or two.
I imagine you have a big...
Maybe.
Oh, how big is it?
I'm not sure.
All right, now, if you're a guy, you lie. It doesn't matter.
Right?
Absolutely.
You lie. You just go with the biggest the person will believe.
Or you'd be funny like about
what?
It.
Or you'd be funny about it, right?
3 inches?
Maybe.
Four?
Three.
Three.
Can we change the topic?
Change the topic.
It's a topic.
Look, no one accepts three. If you're being offered four, you take four.
Right. And he's, by the way, he's the guy who brought up the topic of the prostitutes. Omar wasn't insisting they talk about sexy time.
No, but Omar knows it makes him uncomfortable when he turns the screws on him. So then he starts asking him the personal questions, and Doto doesn't like that. And finally, they're driving across the road, and Omar realizes that Doto almost hit a lady.
Yeah.
And the laughter that comes after that is shocking.
Don't hit this lady. I'm gonna see you almost hit a lady, dude.
Somebody explain
what's happening.
I don't know.
I think he loves death so much.
Does he think life is a video game or something?
I don't know, man.
How was his response to you almost hit a lady? Unbelievable. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
Or you come out of the song either way. We can do it whichever way you decided.
Well, you arranged that beforehand, remember?
We did, yeah.
We did, yeah. About 15 seconds before the other song.
You said to Kevin, you come out of the song. Remember when you said that part?
No, Beans said let me come out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what happened. What's going on, you guys? What's happening?
How can you act even? How can you even feign surprise when he
I
does
just
stuff
I
like
don't
that?
Understand what's happening. All right, Ralph is here with the showbiz beat now on thank God the end of a Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday at 9:41.
Friday, thank God it's Friday. Huh,
no, yeah. That's so the only thing that's getting me through right now is knowing it's Friday.
Tuesday.
It's
just Tuesday.
Relaxation tomorrow. We can all sleep in.
And tomorrow's Wednesday.
Forget this show ever happened.
Midweek.
Sorry, everyone.
My apologies to everyone on the show.
Let me give you all a little heads up. Tonight, I am having a party at my house for the cast of the Joe Schmo Show to watch the finale together.
We're all invited?
So, I'm just saying, start now lowering your expectations for whatever you think I'm going to do tomorrow.
Okay, good.
All right? Just so you know.
Take what I did today. Apply it to Ralph tomorrow.
Multiply it by pi, divide by your age, and that's what you'll get from me tomorrow.
We've got you doing five voices tomorrow, including a panda on the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Effing pandas. You know my no effing pandas rule, first of all. And second of all, don't expect much from me at all.
All right.
Before I get to the biz that is show, let me give you some tickets to something. And it's pretty cool. When I say it's pretty cool, it's pretty cool. This is an event that you will unlikely get the opportunity to see something of its ilk again in your lifetime. It is the Sound City Players. This is the supergroup put together by our buddy Dave Grohl to celebrate his documentary Sound City, which if you haven't seen it, by the way, must.
It is great.
It's a must watch because it is just fascinating and entertaining, and just everything good about a documentary is in this film. Anyway, they're performing tonight at the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. Sound City Players, I'll give you some of the names of the people who are involved. Dave Grohl, of course. Pat Smear also will be participating. John Fogerty, Taylor Hawkins, Rick Springfield, Lee Ving, and many, many more. I don't know how they're going to pack it all into one break on Jimmy's show because there's just so much talent involved. They did the after concert, which I was lucky enough to see after the premiere of the film, and it went on for like 3 hours. Just a nuts evening.
We know what Kimmel does is he'll, you know, tape the first two for the broadcast or something, and then they'll usually play a bunch more songs for the audience off air.
Yeah, so if you'd like to go to this, and why wouldn't you? It's an amazing event. Let's take the first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers will get a pair of passes to check out the Sound City Players tonight on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
So, will Glenda be there?
Yeah, Glenda's going to. She's playing bass, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think Glenda will be on the bass. Pat Smears.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No, we're not. We can't get back to you. That's not how it works.
I don't understand that, Kevin,
Kevin
at all.
We're not calling them. They don't give their numbers and then we call back. Call them back?
I don't know.
This isn't a telethon.
I have no answer.
No, you don't have an answer. Hey, good news. Fox said yesterday they're renewing New Girl. We were just talking about New Girl.
Oh, good.
Should be a given, right?
Yeah, that should have been a slam dunk. But it took them a while to make the final announcement. Raising Hope will also be back. And Mindy Project also get another shot from Fox. Kevin Bacon series The Following has been renewed as well for a second season.
That is so good.
So we get more good stuff from Fox. Very pleased about that. As I am about the new addition to the Anchorman 2 cast.
New addition is going to be in Anchorman 2.
I will turn this show right around. I will turn it around if you two don't stop it. Harrison Ford joining the cast of Anchorman 2. That movie just got 18% less funny.
That's true.
No, I'm kidding. It got funnier. Ford can actually do comedy when he puts his mind to it.
What do you
remember Working
that on?
Girl? Did you ever see Working Girl with him and...
Melanie Griffith?
Yeah, Melanie Griffith.
No.
He was very funny.
Was
that.
He funny?
Yeah.
I've never seen him be funny once.
He will play a legendary newscaster, a Tom Brokaw type, up against Will Ferrell's Ron Burgundy. That should be hilarious. So, good news. Good news.
I know it was a long time ago, but I would argue that Han Solo was a very funny character in Star Wars. I thought there was a lot of humor in that role.
A lot of humor in that. He did a flat-out comedy with Gene Wilder back in the day called The Frisco Kid, which I thought he was also very funny. So, it's a lot of good stuff. Steven Spielberg has decided to give up aliens and spaceships.
No way.
Now he's just turned to the history books. His Lincoln was a huge success. Now it looks like Spielberg has announced his next project, which will be a movie and or miniseries about Napoleon.
Napoleon?
Napoleon.
That could be good.
I think so, too. Fascinating life. A legendary... I was going to say statistician, but that's not right. A strategitarian? Nope, that's not right.
Strategist!
How come you can help him out, but you let me twist in the wind?
Military strategist?
A-hole? They got to get Brad Williams.
He's also an a-hole?
They got to get Brad Williams to play Napoleon, right?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be awesome.
See, Kevin, because he was famous for being short, Napoleon.
I got that.
You don't know.
I got
you,
it.
You think Napoleon is a dessert?
It looked like you stole a midget pants.
Okay, whatever that said.
It looked like you stole a midget pants.
Okay, there you go.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
We're going to get right back to you. Just call in. Spielberg has announced the project started as a screenplay by the late 2001 A Space Odyssey director Stanley Kubrick.
Oh.
He's going to pick that up and take a shot at Napoleon. So that could be good stuff.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
I do. Congratulations to The Hobbit. That's become the most recent film to cross the $1 billion mark at the box office.
Yeah, what's up?
Indeed.
I'm not even needed.
It's only 15th film in history to hit that mark. So congratulations to Peter Jackson. It's his second billion-dollar film, by the way. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Is number 6 all-time box office.
So. He's only got two.
He's only got two in the top $15 billion moneymakers. Nuts. And Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth, is there love and trouble in paradise? Could be. Star Magazine claims Liam was spotted getting very cozy with one Miss January Jones at an Oscar party.
Well, that's a big trade-up right there.
Miley decided to skip it. She was busy smoking salvia with some friends behind a dumpster at a 7-Eleven.
In bare feet.
So, friends say that Liam's starting to get a little cheesed off with Miley's punky look, and her partying ways are an embarrassment to him. He's looking for someone a little bit classier, perhaps. Maybe to move up in class. That's like saying you could have a beauty pageant winner or a llama. Which one would you choose?
Yeah, it's true.
Her being the llama. Okay, Cyrus, good. In case there was any confusion. All right, let me get out of here while I'm behind. Today's celebrity birthdays. Nikki Taylor is 38 years old today. Actress Eva Mendes. Boy, that's a good deal right there. She's 38. Movie producer Scott Mosier. Man who brought us Clerks, many other Kevin Smith films. Worked with Kevin for a long time. 42 years old today. Singer Rome. Not the one from Sublime. R&B singer Rome.
It struck us as weird because you said he's 43.
Yeah, and we said, wait a minute.
Sublime? That guy's like in his mid-20s.
Unless he's a really good-looking 43. That could have been. It turns out it's an R&B guy who had one hit in the 90s.
Who had no business being on the list
at all. Whatsoever. In fact, you know what? I'm going to cross it off right now. How about that?
It's a little late now.
I'm never going to do this guy's birthday again today. How about that?
I don't understand how Dave picks anyway. I mean, yesterday was the freaking drummer from the Cardigans or something, or from the Cranberries or somebody like that. I was like, what's going on? Why? Not everyone's a celebrity, King.
JK! JK!
JK! Yeah.
John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers at one time, 43 years old today. Comedian magician Penn Jillette. He's also in Celebrity Apprentice again this season, the All-Star
That's
edition.
Right.
58 years old. Dean Stockwell, talented actor. He was a kid actor back in the day, and he's still working from Quantum Leap and JAG. He is 77 years old. But the reason we celebrate the day, March 5th, Eddie Grant, singer Eddie Grant is 65.
Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue.
Sadly, at 65, Eddie no longer rocks down to Electric Avenue.
That's true.
Now he just strolls down to Pacemaker Boulevard. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Chase Rogan, who is the young man that Ralph is actively trying to kill on his television show, Joe Schmo.
I love the Chaser.
Has the debut, the season finale tonight, where they tell him it's all a big, cruel joke. Yeah,
that's what bullies always say, Ralph, is, no, we're just having fun. We're just joking around. That's all.
I love him. It's a very deep, passionate love.
Also in our studios, we have Sienna Sinclair, who's written a book called The Naughty Girl's Guide to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We have a brand new internet roundup. We have tickets for you for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Tickets on sale for that go on sale Friday at 10 or noon, which is it.
Noon.
Kevin, seriously,
you
have
are
you
a
given up?
Of information.
Friday
all of
at noon.
Wrong, but you have a lot of information.
Friday at noon.
Just now, do show, they, please.
And, do they call us and then we get back to them? Is that how they get the tickets? Or
I'm not sure how that works.
Actor, writer, director Kevin Smith in our studios as well tomorrow.